When you're watching any animated piece of media, I think it's easy to forget that you're watching drawings move. Excuse me? What kind of Harry Potter dark magic is this? Since when did drawings move? I drew a picture of a dog once, but it hasn't moved at all, not even to play fetch. Well, what you're really watching isn't actually moving. What you're really watching is a series of individual frames played at a rapid speed on a liquid crystal display screen that emit photons into your eyeball receptors that get processed by your brain into what it perceives as movement. It was all a trickery, you see. A ruse that you fell for hook, line, and sinker. Now, a lot of you probably already know about the concept of a frame rate, but what I want you to understand is that in cartoons, every head turn, every blink, everything that happens had to be meticulously drawn by a person who studied anatomy and knows about physics and movement, knowing full well that their drawing was only going to be seen for a fraction of a fraction of a second. And you weren't even watching! You were on your phone! Today, I would like to turn back the sands of time and talk about some of the ways animators were able to achieve the illusion of life without the help of modern technology. I hope by watching you can better understand and appreciate the medium of animation as much as I do, because the amount of dedication and hard work that goes into just making drawings move is unreal. And if you're like me and already know a bit about animation history and find this kind of stuff fascinating, don't worry, I didn't have a lot of friends growing up either. Now, we know that animation is just copious amounts of drawings being shown in rapid succession. But how the fuck are we going to get people to look at copious amounts of drawings in rapid succession without a computer? Well, believe it or not, there's actually quite a few things we can do without even having to use a camera. One method we can try is by drawing out all of our frames on a stack of paper. I know that's the time-consuming part, but after we're done doing that, we'll hang up all our drawings side by side on a very long wall. Then we'll ride a bike next to the wall and continuously have our head turned facing the wall, and if we pedal fast enough, we'll zip by the drawings so fast that it'll look like they're moving.
Hey, look! It's the horse!
Okay, you're probably thinking, that's not how animation is made. And you're right. This method of animation is totally impractical, but not impossible. This type of human transportational animation has been done before in subway tunnels, with the results looking pretty legit. I mean, this minion looks like he's totally moving. I might as well be in the cinema. And for those of the gamer variety, YouTuber Pale of Pears was able to achieve this method of animation flawlessly in Minecraft. But if you wanted to do something more practical, you could instead take your drawings off the really long wall and then stack them up like a book and then just flip through the paper quickly, making a flip book. If you have some sticky notes lying around that you forgot about in a junk drawer somewhere, you could make a pretty simple ball bouncing animation really quickly, with the results being, you know, kind of cool. A fun fact, this type of animation was featured in every single copy of the Animorphs books, which I never read. I would just flip through the pages and watch the children in the corner transform into elephants and starfish and this weird blue alien centaur thing. And what the heck was going on in these books, man? Okay, this next method of showing people drawings in rapid succession is going to be a little bit crazy. I don't want to freak you out, but it's basically on the same level as rocket science, okay? We're going to have to jump up a whole dimension for this one. What you're going to do is sculpt out a three-dimensional figure of whatever you want to animate. Let's animate, I don't know, this guy jumping. So first, I'm going to sculpt my guy just standing there, just being a dude. This will be frame one. Now, okay, I know some of you are probably thinking, oh, I see where this is going. You're going to take a picture of the sculpture, then change its pose slightly, take a picture of that, and then slightly change the pose over and over while continuously starting and stopping the camera, making it seem like our subject has some sort of motion. No, actually, we're not going to be doing any of that. Cameras haven't been invented yet in this hypothetical. What we're doing instead is making a whole new sculpture that will be the next frame of our animation. So it'll be our guy again, bending his legs a little bit, getting ready for the jump. Alright, neat. That's frame two. Now let's do this a total of, I don't know, 16 times? That sounds good. Let's also make the 16th sculpture look like it came before the first sculpture. So you understand it's going to go from the 16th sculpture back to the first one. It's a loop, like a TikTok. We're doing a TikTok loop. Now we're going to take all 16 of our sculptures and space them out evenly on a round table. Sorry, Arthur, I'm going to need this. Now, make the table spin. That's on you to figure out how to do. I don't know. Maybe get the bike guy from the first example to pedal or something. I doubt any of you are actually following along, but if you are, put all your sculptures on a spinning table right now. And make it quick, all right? I'm not going to wait for you. And now, for the final step, turn your lights on and off really quickly. And if we did everything right, the effect we get is mesmerizing. What's happening is that the light shines at the first sculpture, and then we turn the lights off. Cool. Then, as the table spins, the light will turn back on when the second sculpture is in the same position as the first. So we turn the lights on when the sculptures are in the same spot, and we turn them off when they're not. And what we end up seeing is all of our figures standing in a circle performing the animation, and we don't even register that the whole thing is spinning. And congratulations, you all know what a zoetrope is now. Which, I know, is a pretty fun word that you can whip out at parties like, yeah, I know a unique word that starts with the letter Z that isn't xylophone. Another fun thing about the zoetrope was that a 3D rendering of one was featured in the season 2 opening of Mob Psycho 100. So that's what that spinning thing in the intro was. It was a zoetrope. Zoetrope. Okay, let's talk about one more way we can show people drawings in quick succession without a camera, and it's the easiest method by far. So, all we need is this glitchy, abstract drawing like this. Huh, pretty cool and random, right? Except it's not. It's not random at all. I lied. Every line here is placed very deliberately. Let me show you something. If we take this floppy, transparent sheet full of vertical bars and cover up most of the drawing, hey, look at that. The outline we end up seeing looks like one of them kitty cats. Now, if we slide the transparent sheet over and reveal different parts of the drawing, it looks like a kitty cat but in a different position. And if we keep sliding the sheet over, revealing different parts of the drawing, look at him go! This is called a barrier grid animation, and with the right base drawing, you can make all sorts of animations that don't hurt to look at all. And also, I just want to point out that a barrier grid animation was also featured in the season 2 opening of Mob Psycho 100. Hey, do you guys want to watch anime later? So all these different methods of showing people drawings in quick succession, I don't know if there's a word for it, but I'm calling it physical animation. Like animation you can hold and touch with your fingers, you know? All those warrior cat animation memes, that's digital animation, right? This is physical. It's the real deal. But there's one form of physical animation that we haven't talked about yet that's unarguably the most popular and the most important form of physical animation to have ever existed on Earth. Excuse me. Okay, now we're gonna use cameras. Okay, they finally figured it out. With the invention of film, showing people multiple images in quick succession had never been easier. Now we can take something from real life, burn an image of that into a film strip, process it, and then shine a light through it again to get a recreation of the image. And if we roll this whole strip of film over this strobe light, we get moving pictures. That's why they're called movies, because they move. What the fuck? A lot of times, film was used to capture the movements of real people, but it was also used in the same way to capture the movements of people of the animated variety. Let's take a look at an old, old cartoon. The 1968 animated Batman series. The first time Batman has ever appeared in the animation form. You know, the really, really old Batman cartoon that had onomatopoeias appear on the screen during fight scenes? Boom! Pow! Ka-chow! Except they didn't. They didn't do that in the cartoon. Visually showing the verbiage of impacts was exclusively an Adam West thing. In the cartoon, you gotta see those impacts. Hey, can I ask you a thought-provoking question? What the f*** am I looking at? I know it's Batman high-kicking a goon, but how is it moving? This frame was captured on film, so there had to be a physical camera to capture it, right? So where is this drawing? It's not on a computer. Computers in the 60s looked like this. So where is this? So every animated movie and animated TV show and animated anime before the year 2000-ish, used what's called cell animation. This frame of Batman was hand-painted, that's right, painted, with special paint onto a transparent celluloid sheet, or cell. And then this transparent sheet was laid on top of a hand-painted background, and then this goon that got kicked, well, he had to be painted on his own cell sheet too, and then this image of sandwiched art was captured onto a film thing, a strip, shit. Then the Batman cell would come off and be replaced by a whole new hand-painted cell of Batman, and then that frame would be captured, and then the whole process would repeat again and again until the shot was done. This one shot that lasted a little over a second used 14 different hand-painted drawings of Batman, and the goon had 6, just for a second. Now, because having to hand-paint 20 different images for 1 second is insane, there are some things we can do to cut corners without having to sacrifice too much quality. Like in this shot, Robin takes 5 frames to turn his head, but his body doesn't move, so we can paint his body once on its own cell, and now we only need to paint 5 different heads. And since we already have all the frames painted, we can just use the same frames in reverse to make his head turn the other way. And you don't need to pay a background artist to paint a background if you just use blue. A big part of cell animation was being able to animate pieces of a character independently of each other. That's actually why so many old cartoon characters had accessories around their necks, so the animators could separate the characters' heads from their bodies, making it easier to animate. Fred wasn't rocking that ascot just because it was trendy. One of the nice things about using a computer to animate is that you can play back what you've animated and clearly see if your timing is correct and if there's any quick adjustments you can make. Being able to see what your previous frames are is so important there's actually a term for it called onion skinning. But animators pre-2K didn't have computers to re-watch their work, so here's what they did instead. Before they even put paint onto a cell, they first had to draw all their frames out onto a piece of paper, and they didn't work on the frames in chronological order. Like, they didn't go, okay, I just drew the first frame of Batman, okay, here's the second frame of Batman, okay, I'm gonna go do the third frame of Batman, okay, you do the fourth frame though. That way of animating is called straight-ahead animation, and some people use it, but the results look pretty chaotic, but it's still used pretty effectively for effects and concert visuals. But most of the time, animators will animate a character from pose to pose. They'll draw out all the important key poses a character will make on paper, and then they'll hold the pieces of paper between each of their fingers, and then quickly flip between their drawings just to get an idea of what a drawing that goes in between those key poses would look like. That's called in-betweening, just so you know. And they still wouldn't be able to get a full playback of their animation until every pencil drawing was captured on film and processed. They just had to trust their page-flipping technique and their highly trained eyeballs and go, yeah, that looks about right. Let's bring out the paint! And because there are hundreds of shots all having to be animated without a computer, can you really blame the animators that some shots of Batman looked like this? Or this? It was old, remember? Old things are bad. Okay, I kind of have a secret. Remember when I said, let's look at an old, old cartoon? Well, I might have overemphasized how old the Batman cartoon is. By the time the Batman cartoon came out, the movie Bambi had been out for 25 years. And are you aware of how f***ing fluid the animation in Bambi is? Dude, Bambi goes so f***ing hard. Walt literally brought in deer from the woods into their studio just so the animators could be like, oh, that's neat, that's how deers move. I understand this more now. What the f***? I honestly thought the Batman show came out way earlier in the animation timeline because of how it looked. Obviously, these two things were created by different studios with different animators and different budgets, and TV animation always has to create more animation per budget, but all the same techniques and equipment used to make an episode of Batman were the exact same techniques and equipment used to make an episode of Bambi. I don't mean that as a dunk on Batman, I'm more so impressed with how amazing Bambi looks, especially since while it came out, World War II was currently happening. So because celluloid sheets were used to animate every TV show, movie, and anime there has ever been before the year 2000-ish, by my calculations, there are millions of sell sheets out there. Like, this single frame of Batman kicking, it's on a sell sheet somewhere. And more importantly, who owns it? Many of the cells that still exist have been sold to the general public. But because of how the paint and time works, cell sheets need to be kept very well preserved. So since cells are very hard to preserve, and because they're not making any new ones, some cells are worth a lot of money. This cell and original background from My Neighbor Totoro sold for $84,000. While I'm writing the script, there's currently an auction going on for this cell from The Jungle Book for $10,000. And I own this cell of Squidward laughing that I got at a convention for $300. It's not an original background. The background's a print. And it's actually not even the correct background for the shot. But I'm just pointing out that not all cells are thousands of dollars. You know, they made millions of these. So you can get a cell from a TV show for a couple hundred. And then you get to own a frame of animation. Like, that belongs to you now. Which I think is super cool. This moment of Squidward laughing belongs to me. And you can't have it. So if you ever visit some friends who really like cartoons, there's a good chance that they have an animation cell somewhere on display. And those are just a handful of ways that animators were able to achieve the illusion of life without a computer. And I do just want to say, just because something was animated on a computer doesn't make it any less artistic. Yes, computers make the process easier and more streamlined, absolutely. It's still a human expressing their creativity and being in control of that. Did you hear me? It's a human expressing themselves and being in control creatively. I hope you enjoyed learning a bit about animation history. There's still quite a few things that I didn't get to cover, like how did Walt animate this panning, parallaxing shot of Bambi where the trees move on separate layers? What kind of technology did they create to make trees move at different speeds? So much hard work and talent is involved in every piece of animation you see, and because of animation, we're able to tell incredible stories that are nothing like anything we ever see in our day-to-day lives. And before I go, can we talk about the intro to the Batman series, please? Oh my god! I just want to go over some quick announcements. I'll be quick, don't worry. The Scribble Showdown Tour is coming back in January to a city near you, but this time the kiddies aren't invited. That's right, only the adults this time. Leave the children at home with the babysitter. If you're like me and are behind on your Christmas shopping, there's some new holiday merch in the merch store, so check it out. But if the shipping won't get there in time, then there's also the Oddballs graphic novel available in retail stores like Target and Barnes & Noble and Walmart. I'll probably see you all in the new year, so happy new year. Thank you. So originally I was going to make a video talking about Boy Scouts because I was a Boy Scout, but then as I was writing the script, I thought about all the fun things I did as a Cub Scout. So here we are. Cub Scouts is something you can do before you're old enough to be a Boy Scout. It's not required to do Cub Scouts to be a Boy Scout. It's just if you're up to it or if your parents signed you up, you can do it. Now you're already pretty young when you can start doing Boy Scouts. It's why it's called Boy Scouts, not Man Scouts. You can start doing Cub Scouts when you're 7. At what point does it just become babysitting in uniform? So all you people watching over the age of 7, let me tell you what you missed out on. Unlike Boy Scouts that wear a tan uniform, Cub Scouts wear a dark blue uniform. Now there are 4 ranks to the Cub Scouts. There were some requirements you had to do to go up the ranks, but if you went to the meetings every week, you'd be fine. You didn't have to do anything on your own time. And even if you did all the requirements in the rank, you still had to be in the rank for at least a year. So basically the ranks were based on your age. When you were 7 years old in first grade, you were a Tiger Scout. The second graders were the Wolf Scouts, the third graders were the Bear Scouts, and the fourth graders, aka the really cool ones because you're the oldest. Actually, before I tell you, just guess what the mascot for the fourth and final rank of Cub Scouts is. Leave your guesses in the comment box below. Just kidding, don't do that. I don't care. We have a tiger, a wolf, and a bear. That rhymed. What animal is cooler than all 3 of those? I'll tell you. Nothing. And that was the mascot.
There was no mascot.
Welcome to the real world, fourth graders! There's no such thing as cartoon anthropomorphic animals. So if you did guess anything in the comments, you were wrong. I told you not to guess. The fourth and final rank of Cub Scouts was called Weeb-a-lows. Weeb-a-lows.
Very fitting name.
It goes Tiger Wolf Bear Weebelows? What kind of animal is that? Apparently it's supposed to stand for We Be Loyal Scouts, because we talk like pirates. Don't worry, Cub Scouts, I'll make you a mascot for the Weebelows. Here, it's a made-up animal for a made-up word. Use it however you like. The Wikipedia page also talked about a bobcat badge, but I don't remember doing that, so that's whatever, it's not important. I can't even remember what we did as Cub Scouts. We would just meet at some person's house. I think it was one of the kids' moms, and she just had some activity for us to do outside, and we would just play. My mom told me that she was my scout leader for a year, but I don't remember that. I do remember we talked about bike safety, and I remember I fell off my bike a lot. I still got the award, though. Each rank had a handbook that said what activities you would do, and I looked on Google for pictures of the handbook, and I found these books with gritty, serious, tough covers, and I was shocked because the handbooks I grew up with had the mascots on them, and I liked it! The old books were cute and had pictures! You're not trying to get rid of the mascots, are you, Cub Scouts? I think it's funny that each mascot gets progressively unhealthier, which is why my Weebelow mascot looks the way it does. And I think I might be suppressing this memory, but every time we went up a rank, there would be this award ceremony thrown by the leaders, and I think we metaphorically drank the blood of the mascot. I mean, it was really just fruit juice, but...
Hello?
Hey, TJ.
Hey, James.
Do you remember Cub Scouts?
Yeah.
Did we, whenever we went up the ranks, did we metaphorically drink the blood of the mascot?
I think that's just something our leaders did. Like, some leaders chose to do it and ours did, but I don't think everyone did it.
Oh, we had weird leaders.
Yeah, I guess we did.
Okay, bye, TJ. So another thing we did as Cub Scouts was go to this thing called Cub Scout Day Camp. I don't know if it was just an Arizona thing, but I hated it. Cub Scout Day Camp took camping and made it unfun. And surprisingly, even as a 7 and 8 year old, I loved camping. Really, James? Someone who sits in front of the computer all day drawing Pokemon? You like toughing it out and sleeping in the woods? Yes! Oh, yes! If you've never been camping, get on that! I'm talking about real camping, though, not this day camp. Cub Scout Day Camp was during the summer, an Arizona summer. And we would get up super early, like 8 o'clock, eat breakfast at home, and then you and your whole troop carpooled for about 2 hours to camp. There were a bunch of other Cub Scout troops that met there, too. It was a pretty big thing. You were supposed to pack your own lunch, and all the other boys had really cool lunches, like Lunchables and Go-Gurts and, ironically, Subway. I was jealous of kids with Subway sandwiches, and all my mom packed me was a peanut butter and jelly sandwich on wheat bread. So before the day even starts, I'm already in a bad mood. You start the day sitting in this big auditorium, but it's outside. The leaders would tell you to drink lots of water, and they actually gave all the troops a bag of water balloons, and they wanted us to throw them at each other because that would keep us moist and not die of heat stroke. But water balloons are stupid because 90% of the time they don't even break on impact. You're just beating some poor kid to death with a bag of water. Then you would separate into your troop, and there was a rotation of activities for you to do all day. We ate dinner, and then we went back to the auditorium, and some of the leaders put on a play. I mean, it was a pretty dumb play, but I was invested in the story. But then at 10 p.m., you went home. You didn't even get to sleep in a tent. Sleeping in a tent is one of the most fun things about camping. And also, the whole time, we didn't get a campfire, because it's dangerous to have fire around 7 to 10-year-olds or something. But they did let us do archery, because that's safe. Then the next day, you went back and you did it all over again. And then you would do it for a third day, too. So 3 days of this. 3 days of people throwing water balloons at you, and you can't get them back because you have a weak throwing arm. And you're probably wondering, James, what's with all the complaining? This sounds like fun. I mean, sure, other kids probably had fun. I might have been a little dramatic as an 8-year-old. One time, on the second day of camping, I was clumsy and I kept falling off the rocks that I was climbing on, and I kept getting all these scrapes and bruises, and they really hurt. And then we went swimming. That was one of the activities. There was a swimming pool. But just being the little punk kid that I was like, no, I don't want to go swimming. So they made me sit off to the side, and they said I couldn't swim. But then later, I was like, I want to go swimming now. After you swam, the leaders told you to check your shoes for scorpions, and I remember I didn't check because I hated everyone. And you know the play the leaders put on at the end of the day? It was split up into 3 parts, 1 part for each day. So it was left on a cliffhanger. I wanted to go see it, but everyone else in the troop wanted to play with water balloons. And I never found out how the play ended! The next morning, when I was supposed to leave for the third day, I told my mom that I didn't want to go, and she had to tell the carpool that her son didn't want to go because he's a huge puss. And then afterwards, when they were handing out the awards, I didn't get a single award, because I didn't go the third day, so I didn't finish any of the activities. And then I never went back to Cub Scout Day Camp since. And that's why I hated it.
So me and TJ had to sleep a whole night in the axe-smelling tent. Every breath I could taste the smell, and I just got more and more angry. The night finally passed, and I woke up early in the morning before everyone else, so I could start with my master revenge plan. Was I tired? Maybe. But that's a sacrifice you have to make for vengeance. Every campsite had a water fountain coming out of the ground, connected to a PVC pipe. I found the biggest Ziploc freezer bag I could find and started to fill it up with water. It was obviously a slow process. I had plenty of time to reconsider. To think about what TJ said or what would happen after I got my revenge. But nothing stopped me. I was a squeaky-voiced, hormone-induced monster. Once the bag was full, I went back to my tent and woke TJ up. He got up and I told him to watch this. TJ actually had no part in the revenge plan. I just wanted to suck him down with me. I think TJ actually didn't want to get revenge. I ran towards the mega log tent and hid behind a real tent that was right next to the log one. Everyone was still inside. TJ still had no clue what I was doing. Until I chucked the bag over the real tent. If everything went according to plan, the bag would break on the roof, and the water would sink through the openings, and then they'd be super wet, LOL. That was the plan. I never saw the carnage my creation had done. I was worried that I'd completely miss the log tent. I never played any sports as a kid, so just making it over the first tent would have been an accomplishment. But the fact that everyone started screaming and one boy yelled, "Micah, I'm gonna kill you!" I knew it must have been the most perfect shot. Did I stay around and laugh at their stupid, guilty faces? No. Me and TJ ran away as fast as we possibly could, without looking back. We sprinted off into the woods before any 15-year-old saw us. We just kept running and running, making sure to get as far away from camp as possible. And on the way, I kinda threw up a little. TJ, being the good friend that he was, thought I was unfit to run, so he decided that we should hide in some bushes. After about 5 minutes, nobody came. "Should we head back to camp?" "No." "Yeah, you're right." So we kept running, until we found the lake where scouts could canoe in. Me and TJ both thought this was a good place to stop, so we sat by the lake and talked for a few hours. Because in a week, TJ and his family were going to move away to China for 2 years, and I knew I wouldn't see him again for a long time, so I wanted to spend every moment I had with him. We were just a couple of bros being real with each other, skipping rocks and talking about our feelings. And then that night, the 15-year-old's tent got axe-bombed. So I guess it wasn't them. Oh, and remember how I threw up after running so much? Well, apparently there was a sickness going around camp that all the camp instructors got, and about 50% of the scouts got it too. And lo and behold, one of the 15-year-olds wasn't feeling so well when he went to bed that night. And then the sudden jolt awake and the cold water made him throw up. Yay!
Hey there, Frederick! What you doing? Oh, hello, brother of mine. Why, I'm just studying for a math test tomorrow. That's pretty neat, Frederick. Braxton, brother, shouldn't you also be studying for the test? Well, you see, Frederick, due to my high levels of apathy and the stress of knowing that I'll never be good at math, I've decided to completely give up on even trying to do good on the test.
So, what are you gonna do instead?
Oh, I'm just gonna go watch some YouTube videos.
School sucks! Especially math! Ugh!
When will I ever use geometry/trigonometry/calculus in the real world?
I think you're only saying that because you're bad at geometry slash trigonometry slash calculus. Why is everyone so quick to hate on math? Math is easy. How many essays did you have to write for math class? Oh, that's right. E to the I pi plus one. Which is zero. One thing I would change about math class is I think it's dumb that you have to show your work. Ugh! Do you know how much harder it is to cheat when you have to show your work? Dear math, solve your own problems, tweeted MatPat. I hate Matt, replied Protato Gamer. Hey, that's not very nice of you, Prote. All he did was tweet about math. Maybe what you really hate is spelling. Or maybe you really do hate MatPat. Well, two can play at this game. When will I ever need to know about the themes and symbolisms in To Kill a Mockingbird when I go into the real world? That's right, never! You don't need to know anything to be in the real world. Okay, I think we can all agree that a lot of what school teaches you isn't that important. And there's definitely more important things schools could be teaching you, like taxes or how to pick a good president. But I'm not the one who makes the curriculum, so why am I even talking about it? Regardless of how broken your education system is, you should always stay in school, kids. Right, Dave? I was a good student in school, not counting college. And look how I turned out. I'm not using everything I learned in school almost every day. Sure, you'll probably never need to know that much about Shakespeare's plays. But hey, now you know how to read old-timey complicated books. And no, you'll probably never have to find the area under a curve ever. But now you can say that you can. And isn't that what life's all about? So enough with this introduction. I'm going to be telling you all some of my school stories. What do you mean Jaden already made a video on school stories? Did she call them school stories? I already stole from her like two videos ago. Okay, just, I'll think of something. So enough with this introduction. I'm going to be telling you all some of my academy anecdotes. So you know how guys can pee standing up? It's amazing. Ladies, if you've never peed standing up, then you're missing out. But there are some rules that apply with having the superpower. Like, don't go to a urinal right next to another guy unless it's absolutely necessary. Or, if the urinals don't have a divider, then everyone can all agree to keep your eyes and mind straight. These rules have been taught to us at a very young age. By the time we were in elementary school, we were all pros at peeing. Except for some of us when we were asleep. But that's not important. So at this point in life, we all should have known what we were doing. But there is this one kid who I guess no one ever taught him how to pee correctly. This kid, I'm not going to say his race because it doesn't matter, but when he went to the bathroom, he would pull his pants and underwear all the way down to the ground. Some of the ladies watching this might be thinking, wait, is that not how guys pee? Ladies, you'll just have to trust me on this, but that is the most wrong way a person can pee. The first time I saw the kid doing this was when I was in the urinal right next to him. Pee faster! As us two bros were peeing, a third bro walked into the bathroom, saw this kid's bottom, and just went, ooh, and walked out of the bathroom. I wish I could have done the same. How do you tell someone, hey man, when you pee like that, everyone can see your butt. So just, here, let me show you how to do it. I don't know what happened to that kid, but I think he would agree with me that math is easy. He was Asian. When I was little, I had a very weird sense of humor. So in the fifth grade, there was this girl I'd known for a long time. We weren't strangers or anything. And one day I said to her, you have two big blue zits right there. And I pointed at her eyes. I was talking about her eyes. I called her eyes zits. Get it? She, immediately slapped me. Probably because the joke was so awful. And that was the first time I ever got slapped by someone who wasn't a family member. And yes, it was Priscilla, the girl I sat next to in the cardboard boat video. She claims that the slap was an accident and that she was just trying to fake slap me to scare me. But I think she was really just self-conscious about her eyesits. One time, my sixth grade teacher, who was the same height as all of us, threw a stapler across the room because we wouldn't stop talking. Here's an anecdote about the first time I got detention, and it isn't that exciting. I was in the seventh grade and our class was at a computer lab. And the kid sitting next to me, his race doesn't matter, so I'm not going to say it. Asian, kept changing the computer wallpapers to cats and he kept showing me. To be fair, I thought what he was doing was hilarious. Then I asked him, can you change the background to Chuck Norris? That just goes to show you how long ago this story took place. He showed me what he did, I laughed, but then the teacher said, who's changing the wallpapers? She was able to see everyone's screens from her computer, and the kid said, me and James were. Dude, don't bring me into this!
You were the one changing the wallpapers. I mean, I was involved a little, but don't drag me down with you. We ended up getting detention, except my school didn't call it detention. They called it CARE, which I'm sure was an acronym for something. If it wasn't an acronym, that would have been a weird thing to call detention. Let's just say it stood for Kids Are Really Extra. The whole time I was in CARE, I kept thinking in my head, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. If they see you cry, you might as well move to China. And that was the only time I got detention. Except it wasn't called detention. So I still have a clean record. Alright, here's the last anecdote. This one happened when I was in the 11th grade. I was in an AP US history class, and I had it for a 0 hour. So that meant I was at the class before school even started, and I was way too tired to learn about presidents. I was sitting in class when all of a sudden I sneezed very loudly. And it was an above average sneeze. Like one of those sneezes where you had to lean into it. And after I sneezed, this kid near me said, "Hey yo, Mr. Teacher, can we get some tissues? This boy's got a bloody nose." And I thought, oh shoot, I do? Well, that sneeze was pretty violent, and I did pick my nose a few minutes ago. And then the teacher looked right at me and said, "Oh yeah, you can just go to the bathroom." So I got up, and as I was walking to the door, I felt my face and realized, wait a minute, I don't have a bloody nose. I turned around, and there was a kid who actually did have a bloody nose walking towards me. I'm not gonna say the race of the kid because it doesn't matter. Canadian, but I was in a pretty awkward situation. So I punched myself until I actually did get a bloody nose. Nah, I'm just kidding. What I really did was I said out loud, "I have to go to the bathroom too." And then I left. I didn't really have to go to the bathroom. I didn't want to see another exposed butt anyway, so I just waited outside awkwardly for a long time. I got an A in that class, by the way, if you were wondering. I still don't use anything I learned in that class.
A Pokemon Nuzlocke is a set of rules that turn a normal playthrough of Pokemon into a hardcore playthrough of Pokemon. You're only allowed to catch the first Pokemon you see per route, and if any of them faint, they actually don't live anymore, and you can never use them again. The game I will be Nuzlocking will be Pokemon Ruby. Not because I'm copying Jaden, but because Gen 3 is my favorite generation, and out of the three games, Ruby was the one I played as a kid and bought with my own money. It was $40. Imagine paying that much for a copy of the game now. Also, full disclosure, I've seen other PokeTubers who have a deep, uncanny knowledge of this game and use calculators to make the best, most optimal plays, but I'm not quite at that level yet, so I might make choices that some could consider suboptimal.
I thought grass was, like, super effective against water. Why is he super effective against me?
But if you can forgive me and look past all that, then let's get out of this truck and start our adventure.
Let's see. Someone's already picked Torchic, and when I played this as a kid, I picked Treecko. So that means we're left with Kipmud. After defeating my rival's Treecko, I headed to Oldale Town and caught my first Pokemon that would be joining our team, Floof the Poochyena.
I'm guessing naming Pokemon after pets is very common in Nuzlocke. By the way, this is how Floof's very first fight went.
Oh! Oh! Oh my god.
Hey, do you want to learn how to catch Pokemon?
No. I'm good.
Well, that's too bad. First, you want to get him weak by throwing tiny rocks at him.
Traveling through Route 104, I caught a Zigzagoon!
Iggy the Zigzagoon. I'm probably not going to train her up or anything, but she will be useful teaching useless HMs to.
What's that, Iggy? You have an ability where you pick up random objects? And you picked up a revive? Oh, Iggy. I can't use these.
Wandering through Petalburg Woods, some guy asked me if I'd seen any Pokemon named
Shroomish.
The main reason Gen 3 is my favorite is because the best Pokemon ever, Breloom, makes his debut in this game. Why, if I found a Shroomish in this forest, I would probably react like this.
This guy was being truthful.
I named Shroomish Goat because not only is he the greatest of all time, but because I was also working on this other video about goats, so I had a lot of goats on the mind. We made it to Rustboro Town and challenged Roxanne, the rock-type gym leader, but thankfully we picked the water starter, so, you know, Kidmup, do your thing. I caught a Talo on Route 116, and keeping with the naming Pokemon after pets theme, I named him RE2. Not to spoil anything, but don't get too attached to RE2, Jaden. We sailed to Juford Town and saw that the second gym was a fighting-type gym, so that meant fighting-type weakness. It was RE2's time to shine.
He's like actually a higher level. I didn't like that. I didn't like that. He's too high of a level.
Despite being a lower level, we decided to wing it and managed to defeat everyone's Pokemon, only having to tap out at Brawly's Makahuita, which Kidmup mopped the floor with. Hey, when did you start walking on two legs, Kidmup? The next HM we learn is this terrible move, Flash. The only thing Flash is good for is lighting up a dark cave that technically isn't even required to progress through the game if you know where you're going. I, however, do not. Currently, Goat is the only one on the team who can learn Flash. But I'm like 80% sure once a Pokemon learns an HM move, they can't unlearn it. So I really don't want to teach this S-tier Pokemon an unforgettable F-tier move. Oh boy, an Abra! I bet he can learn Flash. Oh boy, a Zubat! Okay, I'm kind of fudging the rules here. This Zubat wasn't technically the first Pokemon I saw on this route, but does it even count as an encounter if all you do is look at a Pokemon and then they teleport away?
Excuse me?
Look, I just need this useless Pokemon to learn this unrequired move. Zubat, I'm calling you Mr. Flash and immediately teaching you...
No!
Goat, you can learn Flash.
Yay!
After clearing out Team Magma from a museum, we were ready to take on Watson, the electric-type gym leader. Luckily, we picked the water-ground starter, so... Kidmup, do your thing. Now what? Do I go here? Here? How did I get here? During my wandering, both the Pokemon I named after pets evolved into bigger versions of themselves, and Goat learned Headbutt.
Can I get rid of Flash?
No!
Hey, lady, I'm kind of lost, so I'm entering random houses and asking NPCs where I should go.
Oh, you have harbor mail? I'll trade you that for my coin case.
Coin case?
You know, for gambling.
Gambling? Listen, I don't have a problem. The reason I'm this excited is because one of the prizes you can win at the casino is a Pokemon. A Pokemon that may help me build the perfect team. So, before I checked what the prizes actually were, I bought 500 coins for a measly 10,000 Pokédollars.
Just TMs? Dolls? I just wasted a lot of money, didn't I?
Good news, though. Goat evolved into his perfect form and learned Mach Punch.
Right.
Eventually, I talked to the right NPC, taught Iggy Rock Smash, and while exploring a fiery path, I caught my first fire-type Pokemon.
Okay.
Numel.
Let's go, man.
Even though Numels can be found in the desert, have a big hump on their back, and evolve into something called Camerupt, for some reason, I never looked at this Pokemon and thought, camel. I always thought, fire cow. So that's why I named her Cooked Beef. Then, on Route 114, we encountered a Zangoose.
Hello!
I have no clue what this Pokemon does, but it looks way cooler than all the Oddishes and tiny birds I kept running into, so it had to be awesome. Cooked Beef, the 9 levels you have on this goose are more than enough to weaken it. Hit him with an ever-
Oh, please don't. Oh!
Cooked Beef! So, my only fire type died to a quick attack that did 50 damage. Zangoose, or should I say Beef Eater, you can join the team for now, but just know, we could have killed you at any point. It was a challenge not to kill you. We headed up a mountain and fought Maxie, the leader of Team Magma, who had his own Floof Pokemon, which Goat took care of, and he had his own evolved Cooked Beef. I sure wish I had one of those on the team. Hey, Beef Eater, why don't you make yourself useful and fight that Crobat? Okay, that's kind of cool. As we headed down the mountain, who did I encounter but...
Who's the new Pokemon?
Another Numel. Immediately, I abandoned Beef Eater to make room for... Return of King.
Before we take on gym number 4, I think I figured out a way to get Goat to forget the move Flash without having to beat him over the head with a 2x4. A little Pidgey told me that Goat was about to learn a new move at his next level. So by placing him in the Pokemon daycare and doing some light cardio outside, he'll level up, learn the new move, and forget Flash. And my plan worked like a charm.
Yeah.
It really sucks that this is the only way to get Pokemon to forget an HM move. You'd think they'd have some, I don't know, a move deleter NPC or something. Gosh. Now you'd think that since I picked the water starter, that the fire type gym wouldn't be an issue. But it was. Floof and I quickly learned why biting lava was a bad idea.
Okay!
Thankfully, Kidmup, who I don't know why I didn't send out first, took out both of Flannery's Slugmas with no issue. But then, she sent out Torkoal. Even though Kidmup was using a super effective move, he only did this much damage. Meanwhile, Torkoal's body slams were doing this much damage. And paralyzing us. Okay, Goat, I know you're the goat, but you understand why you can't fight a fire turtle, right? RE2, looks like you're up. Finish her off with a steel whip.
Ah! Dude!
RE2! No! What do we do? What do we do? None of you are great choices. What I really need is a turn to heal up Kidmup, but... Hey, Iggy. Are you aware of the concept... taking one for the team? Given the dire circumstances, this felt like the best choice. Sorry, Iggy. With Kidmup healed, we managed to get Torkoal's health really low, but then Kidmup refused to finish the fight because he was, in his words, immobilized by love. Kidmup, I know you're letting this turtle body slam you on purpose, and you're sick for it!
Do you really think we have a future together?
Okay, Goat. I know this is a fire turtle, but she's mostly using body slams. Could you please punch this turtle's head off without falling in love? We earned our 4th gym badge, but it wasn't without some casualties. RE2 and Iggy, we wouldn't have made it this far without you. Thanks for everything. We traveled into a sandstorm where I picked up 2 Pokemon, this fossil, and this weird Pokemon I've never seen before, Baltoy. Alright, King, my second chance at a fire type. I know this isn't your natural habitat, but why don't we train here in the desert for a bit? Oh, you found a Baltoy. I just caught one of those. I'm not sure what its moves are, though. God! Okay, team. I know everyone is upset this thing shares a species with the Pokemon who blew up King, but it possesses psychic abilities that I believe could be very useful. So, please everyone give a warm welcome to King Eater. No one step on it. We headed back to Petalburg City and faced gym number 5, my dad. Also, I brought Odd One-ish just in case we had another Iggy-type situation.
Am I an integral member of the team?
You sure are, bud. Despite a few close calls...
Who? Dude! 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 Finish him off. No!
Everyone, including Odd One-ish, made it out alive.
Oh my god.
Good thing we have free healthcare. I don't know what I'd do if someone took away my free healthcare. Not right now, Goat. Across the water on Route 118, I caught Pikachu the Electrike.
Great.
I don't know, he's electric like Pikachu, and his head kind of looks like pickles, so... Whatever, having an electric type on the team is huge. After inspecting all the Pokemon I had, I figured Mr. Flash's flying poison moves could be useful. So I evolved him into Golbat, and then... Here you go, daycare lady! Alright, my favorite Pokemon, who wants some ice cream? Gosh, I love you guys. I couldn't ask for a better team right here. At Fort Tree City, we were ready to take on Winona, the flying-type gym leader. Wait, this weird lizard's blocking our path. Kidmup, can you... Oh, cool, you're back on 4 legs again. Also, Pikachu, why are you blue? The only thing that stood between me and Winona was this incredibly hard 2-piece puzzle.
How do I get through this? Oh.
Pikachu was able to spark Winona's Swellow, and Kidmup, through sheer willpower, tanked all of Altaria's earthquakes, narrowly avoiding death by 8 hit points. Good work, Kidmup. Pikachu, you know what to do. I found a TM for Ice Beam on an abandoned ship, and King Eater, you can learn Ice Beam? I'm sorry it's taken me this long to realize how awesome of a Pokemon you are. You know, King Eater, with you on the team, I think we'll be okay without a fire type. I entered Lily Cove City, and my rival wanted a rematch. Kidmup knocked out her Swellow, no problem, but then she sent out Grovyle. Ooh, I know the perfect matchup for this. King Eater, why don't you show this grass type that new move you learned?
Dude! Are you going to use a hyper potion? No!
No! I can't believe I got that upset at losing a Pokemon that before this challenge, I had never even considered playing with. If any members of the Claydol lover community are watching, I'm sorry, I didn't know he hated grass. All right, team, we're not fighting any more gyms until each one of you is in peak physical shape. Floof, why haven't you evolved into Houndoom yet? What about this fossil? Is this fossil any good? We picked the plant one. We got the plant. What about Mr. Flash? Has anyone seen Mr. Flash? Why hasn't that loser evolved yet? Hey, buddy. So listen. We're friends, right? You know, Goat had to stay in the daycare once. Yeah, it was to forget the move Flash. Look, Mr. Flash, I know I technically shouldn't have even caught you, and I named you after a garbage move I thought you could learn, but I want you to evolve so you can be the best version of you on the team. Don't you want to join the team? I have this soothing bell you can hold on to. Welcome to the team, Mr. Flash. With the team stronger than ever, I surfed my way to an island that had a Pokemon graveyard inside a tall building, and for the first time ever, I could actually grieve with the other trainers. That was a great battle, dude.
Yeah, it was. Here's some money.
So, Kidmup was holding an amulet coin, so you actually owe me 600. We defeated more Team Magma grunts at the top of the tower, and on our way down, I caught what I thought was going to be a super awesome Pokemon, but turned out to be a little disappointing.
Let's go!
My third chance at a fire type, my son, the Vulpix, which I immediately evolved into Ninetales. Why was she a disappointment? I don't know. You'd think a fire type would have no problems defeating a Gloom, but alas. I'm not saying Ninetales is a lame Pokemon. I'm saying mine specifically was. Floof and Kidmup easily cleared the Psychic Gym with Shadow Ball and Surf, and with that, we just have one more gym before we... Is the sun on fire? So I haven't really been paying attention to the story, and now the legendary Pokemon Groudon is angry. And as much as I would have liked to have Groudon on the team, I never found the Master Ball, so we're not risking it. Oh, hey, Wallace. Oh, you're the water-type gym leader? Oh, I hope my fighting grass Pokemon will be okay. No, you don't have to fight the Celio. I'll get Floof to do that. And with our 8th gym badge, we could finally travel through Victory Road and face the Elite Four.
Aren't you forgetting something?
I don't know how you want me to respond to that. This is it. Our final challenge. Each one of you has trained very hard. And as a reward, you'll each be receiving a piece of candy.
You get a candy. You get a candy. You get a candy. You get a candy. You get a candy. And you get a candy. This is it. This is gamer moment to the max.
Kidmup and Goat were able to finish off Sydney's Pokemon with their water, ice, and fighting moves. And my two dogs, Pikachu and Floof, crunched and bit all of Phoebe's ghost Pokemon. Pikachu might be cursed, though. Against Glacia, my son finally stopped being a disappointment and fire blasted her Glalie. Then I tried to get Goat to drain her Celio, forgetting he didn't like ice.
Okay.
Ice and birds, those are his two big no-nos. Luckily, Kidmup was able to earthquake the rest of her Pokemon. Now it was time for the fourth member of the Elite Four, Drake.
His Altaria was defeated by Kidmup and Floof, but they both took some damage. Against his Flygon, I sent out my son.
Okay, what about Fire Blast? You're green.
Ah! Then Flygon dug a hole in the ground, but by the time he came up, Mr. Flash was waiting for him and took him out with a fly. For Drake's next Flygon, I sent out Goat.
I don't think... because he doesn't like birds, and Flygon's a dragon?
Yeah, Flygon wasn't a bird, but I forgot a very important aspect about dragons.
Give him my dynamic punch. Nope, okay.
Oh, no! Oh, he knows Flamethrower.
Fire and Poison, those are his other two no-nos. Instead, Floop and Pikachu crunched Flygon's head off, and then I used Kidmup's last Blizzard on Salamence.
Okay, I'm gonna need this Blizzard to hit. Please? Yes! Yes! Yes!
We had done it.
Oh my goodness!
We had cleared four champions with some very close calls, but we are all still alive. Now it was time to face the fifth member of the Elite Four. What, you didn't know about the secret fifth boss that's in every Pokemon game? We had one more challenger. Steven. Steven sent out a Skarmory, which was the perfect lightning rod for Pikachu, then Kidmup took out Aggron with Surf, and my son defeated Cradily with Iron Tail. Then Steven sent out a Metagross, and things got messy. I thought Kidmup's Surf would be super effective against this rock with legs. Turns out it wasn't.
Okay, here's what we're gonna do. I have an idea. Kidmup, if you can last another hit, that would be amazing. Oh, Hyper Beam!
Kidmup, my starter Pokemon, had been taken out.
Okay.
At least he got Metagross's health low enough that Floof could easily finish them off.
That's it.
Then Steven sent out his own King Eater, which I knew from personal experience they hated getting crunched.
I know this Pokemon. He hates getting crunched. I don't care about your special defense. You're getting crunched! It's probably because his special defense went up!
Floof eventually took down Claydol, even though Steven used a full restore on it three separate times.
Of course! Of course you were!
Stop me!
Which I get, man. I'm part of the Claydol lover community, too. Next was the last Pokemon we needed to defeat. Armaldo. One hit from its ancient power badly injured Floof. So for this final fight, I sent Goat to finish him off. Goat, because he's so awesome, poisoned Armaldo just by standing next to him, and then promptly sky uppercutted him straight in the jaw, just barely knocking him out. Armaldo was clinging onto life when the unthinkable happened. Armaldo knew a bird move.
No! No!
Goat had made it so far into our journey, only to faint inches away from the finish line. I could have sent out a level 5 Zigzagoon and still would have won, because Armaldo died to poison on the very next turn.
The poison's gonna finish it off! Right? I didn't even have to... No! No! Not Goat!
By all accounts, Goat had defeated Armaldo, but he didn't make it! And neither did Kidmup! That was my starter and my favorite Pokemon! No, I don't want this trophy! I want Goat and Kidmup! Colleagues, friends, Wally, we gather together to honor two of the bravest Pokemon I know. One of them from the humble town of Little Root, and the other from a patch of grass in Petalburg Woods. Together, they faced gyms, rivals, and a plethora of wild Pokemon. And when the final challenge came, they didn't back down.
This sucks! I hated that!
And that's how my first Nuzlocke went.
Dude!
Grew Wurmples, dude.
Dude.
Nothing, dude.
Dude! Oh! Dude, stop falling in love! No!
Tackle's so bad, dude.
Body is lava, dude.
Don't give him a chance to recover, dude.
Dude,
stop it. bash their skull in, dude.
That was my psychic ice type, dude.
Gabe the dog died last Friday, the day Trump was inaugurated into office. So that's two things to be sad about. There has been one time in my life that I cried about something on a screen. It was a GIF of a dog being reunited with her puppies. And I don't know what came over me, I just started crying, and I don't know why I'm telling you this or how I'm gonna segue it into the next. As dogs go, Gabe lived a good life. He died peacefully, surrounded by loved ones, which is how I wanna go. What I've learned from this is that if you have pets, then love them right now. Give them kisses, give them treats. Aw, pets are great. I just wanted to say that so people on Twitter and Tumblr would stop telling me. Look at all the emails I got about Gabe. I know current events, guys. I go on the internet. You don't have to tell me. Another thing is that I'm going to PAX South in San Antonio, Texas. I don't have a panel or anything. I'm just going to be walking around. So if you're going, then try and find me. Don't worry, I'll probably tweet about it. Now let's change the tone of this video and sarcastically A some cues. Normally I answer unsolicited cues on my Tumblr, but recently, the cues I've been getting on Tumblr were a little below par. I got a lot of questions about Gabe. This guy said, "Can you please follow me on Tumblr? Please, please do it. My name, I..." And then he says his name, but I'm not gonna show his name. This other person asked, "What's your favorite color?" And then he answered his own question. And by the way, OMG Hugo Campos, my favorite color is dark blue, okay? Get it right. So this time around, I thought, you know what? I'll just ask Twitter for some cues, and hopefully, I'll have some A's. Ever considered getting a doggo? I already have two doggos.
Okay, you're gonna have to go in your kennel, puppy.
Hey, stop it! I already have two doggos. Puppy, you ruin everything. You know that? Were you ever bullied? I was in honors classes since third grade, so I was with a bunch of other smart people, so there weren't really any bullies. If there was someone in class that I didn't like, we would just be passive-aggressive towards each other. Could you convince Jaden to do a face revival? I sent Jaden a message saying, "Face revival? Question mark. Can you do a face revival?" I'll put that on the list. Hopefully she'll revive her face soon. Oh, it's a good dog. Good doggo. 10 out of 10. Thank you. When you lived with your roommates in college, did they ever do anything creepy? And then she did correct herself to ever, so I just wanted to point that out. Yeah, there was this one thing my roommate did that I'll never get over, and that was that he watched anime. How much money do you make on YouTube? Oh, I'm so glad you asked that question, because now I can make the title of this video, "How much money do I make on YouTube?" and then never even answer the question.
On average, how much do you earn from your vlogging? See, I don't like saying how much I earn.
What other places were you thinking about applying for before YouTube, Subway, and Chipotle? I like how it's assuming that I applied to YouTube, like I put in an application and they called me back like, "Oh, you're hired! You're gonna be a full-time YouTuber!" That's how it works, kiddos. Good question, there's actually a bunch of places. The first place that I applied to was Cold Stone, because I thought, oh, I like ice cream, I'd be good with ice cream. So I filled out an application online. They sent back an email saying, "Here at Cold Stone, we like to do things a little different." Their idea of doing things a little different was that everyone who applied showed up at the same time. Then we were separated into groups, and then we had contests about who could sing songs about Cold Stone better. The songs were parodies of other songs that were made, with just ice cream terminology thrown in. So my group did a song that was to the tune of Queen's "We Will Rock You," and just thinking about it is making me cringe. I looked up the full song to prove that I'm not lying. I'm not sponsored by Cold Stone, by the way. They didn't even hire me. Those pricks. "When you come to Cold Stone looking for a treat, you know you'll find something cold and sweet. We got mix-ins galore at every store. And when you're done, you'll be begging for more. Singing, we are Cold Stone. Cold Stone." That's why they didn't hire me. Next time you go to a Cold Stone, make them sing that song. I was the type of person at Subway with the mindset, I'll do what I want. I mean, I still followed the rules, but like I didn't wear my name tag. And we were also told that whenever someone got a 6-inch sandwich, we were supposed to say, "Do you want to upgrade that to a foot long?" But I didn't really care, and so I never asked people that. So if some manager at Cold Stone said, "Hey, every so often you have to sing some awful songs about Cold Stone," then
I probably would have quit. But that's a long enough tangent. I applied to a bunch of other places. You know those big stores that have tiny stores just going off to the sides? Well, I would go to those and just go store to store and just apply to every single one of them. I got interviews at a lot of different places. I applied to be a server at an old person home once, and they said I had to take a drug test. And so I did the drug test, I turned it in, and they never got back to me. So... But I mean, I eventually got hired at Subway, and I've learned that McDonald's has better sales than Subway, but Subway has more stores physically than McDonald's. So that means they need more employees than McDonald's, which means it's more pathetic to work at Subway than McDonald's. Good question, by the way. Do you remember your first Tumblr followers? Now that you're famous. My first Tumblr followers were my friends from school, but I'm not counting those. I had to make 4 comics to get 1 follower that I didn't know. And it was a porn blog. I tell this to people who are just starting out drawing, but it took me 100 comics to get 100 followers. So it takes a long time with things like this. And you should always be trying to improve your work. I really wish I remembered the first person who followed me who wasn't porn. But I don't. If you knew me back in my Tumblr days, then man, you've been here a long time. In your comic tree tattoos, there's a big heart with the initials J and R. If J is James, then who is R? Your mom! Do you exaggerate your voice at all for your videos? The way you talk reminds me of Sammy, Smarmy? Smarmy. The way you talk reminds me of Smarmy, I'm so cool voice my dad does. No, not at all. I always talk like this. Hey, dude, what's up? Am I recording a video? No. Okay, but seriously, you do have to sound interested in what you're saying. All right, so back there, I was exaggerating how much I exaggerate. What's your favorite part about YouTube? BuzzFeed? I'm just kidding, it's me. How do I get 40 total Twitter followers? Make 40 total friends? Why? Good question. Let's answer some questions that people I follow asked. They're better than you. Jaden said, how are you the odd one if there's only one of you? Luckily someone answered for me, that's the point. The Fear Raiser said, how odd are you? And again, luckily someone corrected him to old. That's what he meant to say. So, I'm 20 years odd. Did you know that America has never lost a war when donkeys were used? When did we ever lose a war? When was your first kiss? I was wondering if I should save this story for a video, but screw it. That's not good. How long has that been like that? I don't know if this counts as a first kiss, but I was in 9th grade and I was in preparatory school that year. And I was a total ladies' man, by the way, alright? All the chicks loved me. There was this one girl, though, who just hugged me a lot. She would always hold my hands and say stuff like, James, let's walk back to class together! Looking back, I can see that she was going through that phase where she was just like, I need a boyfriend! And I was just oblivious to everything she was doing. One time, it was before class, and she hugged me, and then she closed her eyes, and she did this with her lips. And then I leaned in, and I asked, what are you doing?
I'm trying to kiss you.
Oh, okay. Mwah. I understand now. I don't know if that counts as a first kiss, because I don't even remember her name. I bet you never even kissed a girl, though, Rammy. So I really hope I can get this next video finished before I go to PAX. That's kind of why I'm making this Q&A video, so you'll have something. Except I need to edit this video now, so that's more work. Thanks for watching. Sorry if your question couldn't make it in this video. I got about 1,000 of them, and some of them were pretty stupid. On a scale of 1 to 10, what is your favorite color of the alphabet? The correct answer is square. You see, now that's a bad question, because they give me the answer. Don't give me the answer. Let me answer the question myself. It's a square. So, we're gonna end it now. Wear your seatbelt. I know it's late, but can you still accept my question?
And action.
So, Mr. James,
is it rolling?
Yes.
And action.
So, Mr. James, is it true that you wrote a book?
Oh, that thing? Yes, the rumors are true. One afternoon, I was just thinking to myself, why aren't I a published author yet? So I just jotted down some notes and doodles, and then I thought, you know, people should pay money for this.
So, like, It's just a bunch of pictures?
No, I added words, too. It's a collection of stories and opinions of mine, some of which I've already made into videos, and some that are completely original new stories. Like, one chapter is all about the science fair, and yeah, it is the same story I used in the YouTube video, but I also go more in-depth with the story, and I draw new pictures.
YouTubers have a reputation of writing bad books. Does this concern you?
Oh, bad books, huh? I'll have you know that my book was the number one best-selling book in literature criticism and theory. Do I know what that means? No. But did I beat Tyrant, Shakespeare on Politics? Yes. Does that mean I'm better than William Shakespeare himself? I'll let you be the judge when you pick up your copy of the book, link in the description.
I'll give you a clue. The answer's yes.
Are all authors as condescending as you?
Do you even know what that word means?
James, is there anything special that happens to people who order at VidCon?
Yeah, the people who pre-order at VidCon get a signed copy.
Well, what about people who aren't going to VidCon?
Sucks to be them.
Cut, come on.
Haha, that was a good joke. So I actually am going to be selling signed copies. I'll be signing the first 1,000 copies to people who pre-order the book on my website. Check the link in the description. Also, speaking of my site, I've revamped the whole thing and got a bunch of new merchandise. Check it out if you have some free time. Christmas is right around the corner, guys. There's also non-signed copies available if you just want to pre-order it regularly. Or you can wait until August when the book comes out and buy it at Barnes & Noble or your local bookstore. And depending on how well these signed copies sell, I'll release more. We'll see. If you're interested, then I'll update everything on Twitter, so follow me on Twitter to be updated. Anyway, authors sure can be stuck up sometimes. Like this one time when this pretty well-established author was coming to my town and was doing a signing. I say well-established, but I'm sure if I said his name, you guys wouldn't actually know who he is. Anyway, at his signing, he gave an hour-long talk, and he said he wasn't going to do a Q&A segment because he said he'd been an author for so long that he felt that he already answered every question ever. Okay, Mr. Yahoo Answers, sorry our questions bothered you so much. And then after you listen to him talk, you gotta go up to meet him to get a book signed, but he was the most stereotypical I'm too good for you celebrity I've ever seen. When you got to his table, he didn't say anything to you, and if you wanted a picture, he wouldn't even look up at the camera. So my family has this picture of all of us standing and smiling next to this guy just looking down reading a book. So I will follow in that author's footsteps and only take pictures with fans while signing my book and looking like this. Contrast to that when I met Steven Pastis. Pastis? I should have looked up how to say it. He's the creator of a comic strip called Pearls Before Swine, and all you need to know is that his comics are in the newspaper and he's really great. He came to visit Arizona and I was 15 at the time, so I was making stick figure comics, and I wanted to impress Steven, so I got out my ruler and protractor and I very carefully drew this comic. How was your run? Well, let's just say Justin is all pooped out.
What happened? I don't want to talk about it.
Get it? He pooped his pants. This isn't based off anything in real life, okay? I was 15. Shut up. I went to his book signing. He was really awesome. I showed him my comic. He laughed and he told me to keep going. And now I'm a YouTuber.
I mean, it wasn't just what he said that got me into doing comics and YouTube. I wanted to do that way before I met him. Anyway, he was nice. Ironically enough, I was never a fan of reading, and I think a big part of it was that teachers forced you to read books you didn't want to read. So if this book becomes the next Romeo and Juliet or Grapes of Wrath, and teachers make their students write book reports on this book, then I'll make it easy for all of you. In the description of this video, I will create an already completed book report for this book. Now, I know what some of you are thinking.
James, won't the teachers know if all the book reports are the same?
Yes, they will, which is why I added some blank spaces for you to put in your own words. It's sort of like a Mad Lib that you turn in for homework. And this book report doesn't even have to be on my book. You can use it for any book. So if you have a book report due tomorrow, then check the link in the description. Trust me, you'll get at least an 80%. You know, the people who already pre-ordered this book are pretty ballsy. They don't even know what this book's about. For all they know, it could have just been a single picture of me laughing at all the money they gave me. But it's not that. I promise. That's just the inside sleeve. And that's the end of the video, everyone. I'll see you at VidCon.
You guys, frick, 100,000 subscribers. I am just amazed that so many people actually watched my stuff. So I'm in Arizona visiting my family because it's spring break. So I'm not going to be able to make comics this whole week. I do have another video planned out. But for this video,
I thought we could get a cake
and put
100,000 sprinkles on it. How much even is 100,000 sprinkles?
doggies.
Okay, let's count out 500 of these and then weigh them and then see how much 100,000 would be. Okay?
Make sure you wash your hands.
100, 200,
300,
400,
600, or no, 500.
This is how much was left of the pile.
Not that much, to be honest.
Frick.
Can you bring the sprinkles in? Yeah.
Yes.
This is 10 ounces of sprinkles.
So this is 500 sprinkles, right? There's not that much, you know? You wouldn't think that 100,000 would be that much, you know? Maybe like a full cup and maybe like a little more. You know, it's not that expensive. The dog wants to go outside. Oh, he wants to come inside.
Come on in, Pooch.
So, I weighed the sprinkles. And so a thing of sprinkles weighs 0.31 ounces. That means 100,000 would be 62 ounces. Just to give you sort of a reference, this is only 9 ounces. So that means I would need 7 of these. So I was going to do this cute thing where I had 100,000 sprinkles on this.
What are you doing?
So I was going to do this cute thing where I did 100,000 sprinkles to mean each of my subscribers. But I'm not going to pay $28 for sprinkles. So instead, we're just going to pretend that this is 100,000. Try and get some on the side. So I just want to thank you guys, each and every one of you, for subscribing. If you're subscribed and you're watching this, then that means one of these sprinkles is you. Well, not all of you are represented here, because I would have had to put on 4 more of these cans, and I just thought that wouldn't really make a good cake, so any number of you could be right here in this big old pile of sprinkles. Some of you are still in the can. I just want to thank you guys again for subscribing and watching and liking my content. You see this red one? This red one is going to be I Hate Everything, and I kind of appreciate him too much to eat him. So, and also Your Movie Sucks. He subscribed to me, so this is him. And Fanboy Flicks, I really like his videos. He makes movie reviews, so we're not going to eat him. And Jaden Animates actually subscribed to me, so that's really cool. Hey, Jaden, I really like your videos too. So we're not going to eat her. But yeah, everyone else, you're going to help feed me. Man, it really just puts into perspective how many people are subscribed. Like, each one of these could represent 2. No, you're not going to eat cake. So again, I just thank you so much, you guys. Thanks for watching my videos. Thanks for subscribing. By the time this video comes out, maybe a couple hundred more of you will have subscribed. So just, there you go. I don't want to forget anyone. Bon appetit. This one's for you guys. What a waste of sprinkles. No, you can't have any. Thanks for subscribing. Oh man. I'm just gonna clean all this up.
It's not even 100,000. I don't even know if that's 50,000.
Oh, what do you do?
Yeah, 100,000, that's not gonna be that much. We can fit it all on this tiny little cake.
It's like, it's a crunchy cake.
It's a crunchy cake.
Hello everyone. Welcome to the 10 million subscriber milestone special. Last time in the 3 million subscriber milestone, I said I wasn't gonna do this until 10 million. And then I hit that sooner than I thought I did. So here we are. I was expecting just to like put this off until I'm 40, but I'm back. Woo! And I got this new dog. So if you're new to this channel, welcome. And also, what I do whenever I hit a subscriber milestone, I like to get sprinkles for however many subscribers that I have. The first time was 100,000, and I thought it would just be a fun little thing. But then I counted them out and I weighed them, and 100,000 was actually, like, a lot of pounds of sprinkles. Very, a lot. Then I did one for 1 million, then I did one for 3 million, and now we're standing strong at 10. So if you subscribed between 3 million and 10 million, you weren't ever a part of these milestones, but now you are. Now, a big complaint I got in the other subscriber milestones was that people were saying, James, I don't know which sprinkle is me. How am I supposed to distinguish myself between all of this vast ocean of sprinkles? Well, I think I found a solution. Isn't that right, Floofy? So I have divided up all of my subscribers into different categories, and that way you can all see where you lie in the sprinkle spectrum. So this is my first subscriber. They've been in all the milestones, so I wouldn't be here without just that initial subscriber. So thank you so much, Mom, for subscribing. And this is my second subscriber. You know, they say that a journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step, but it also has two steps in it, and I think people overlook that very important second step. These two sprinkles are on a date. They both met because they like my YouTube channel, so they are talking about me. And this sprinkle right here is third wheeling. He just wants someone, he's very lonely. Anyway, you guys know who you are. These are my first 100 subscribers. Again, they have also been in every single milestone. Unless they unsubscribed. So then we got our first 1,000 sprinkles. I framed them. You guys know who you are. These are my first 1,000. And this is my first 100,000 subscribers. This is the first milestone that I hit. There is 100,000 sprinkles in here. I counted them out. It took me about 5 minutes. So it's exactly 100,000. Oh, shoot. It's like 90,000. These are my Arizona viewers. Home state represent. I'm just gonna, like, put them in the oven for a little bit. These are my Idaho viewers. These are my homeboys in Idaho. Potato gang. Here are my Utah viewers. Where are my Utah viewers at? And the Lord saith, bring unto them sprinkles. That is actually what it says. Here are the Texan viewers. You know, where are my Texans at? Yeehaw. I am making a mess. Aloha, these are my Hawaiian viewers. Can anyone take a guess where these amigos are from? Thanks, Wyoming. Here are the Canadian viewers. They are also in the some stuff. Canadian viewers. Whoa, it's Australia now. This is actually an actual thing that Australians do. They put bread, butter, and sprinkles, and they call it fairy bread, and they like eat it. And this is like an actual Australian dish. And it tastes disgusting. Oh, pop pop cheerio, we have the UK viewers. Hello. Yo, check it out, it's my favorite anime for my Japanese viewers. Thanks, Japan. And these are my South American subscribers. Oh, I guess I don't have any South American subscribers. Anyway, here are the subscribers in Italy. This looks disgusting. And here are our Colorado subscribers. I made them brownies for no reason. Yay! And lastly, we have the Jell-O subscribers.
I don't know what these are supposed to be. I just thought it'd be funny to put Jell-O in sprinkles.
And just like Jesus on the Last Supper, I brought a cake, and it says congrats on 10 million, just 10 million. It's a cake that's just going to represent all of our birthdays and all of this milestone that we got together. Let's dig in. Ooh, it's chocolate. Oh, honey, can you pass the cowboy boot? This cake needs a little more sprinkles. Oh, thanks, honey. It's just so wild that each sprinkle represents a human or a bot. I don't know what goes on YouTube. Now, some of you who have not seen the subscriber milestone videos before, you're probably thinking, wow, 10 million sprinkles sure is a lot. No, this isn't even close. Are you serious? Oh, did you guys want this cake? I'm sorry. So 3 million sprinkles was 210 pounds, which means 10 million, it would be 830 pounds, plus a little bit more for the extra million. Almost a half a ton of sprinkles. Doesn't sound impressive. Almost a half of a ton. Anyway, we got a whole pallet of sprinkles right here. Each one of these is 6 pounds. Plus the sprinkles from last, like almost 2 years ago. These ones are disgusting, just so you know. Last time, we filled a kiddie pool. Well, this time, we're filling a bathtub. That's not been done before, right? Okay, so this is a minion. Anyway, let's party!
Hi, everyone! I like to party!
Oh, no. You guys are supposed to come up and grab all the candy. Let's see what 10 million sprinkles looks like, shall we? Goodness. Oh, I'm getting hugged by all of my sprinkles. Can we get a bunch more subscribers in here? Stop it! Well, do you guys know the weather? I think it's sprinkling a little bit. I'm surprised I've never come up with that joke. You know, in high school, I was voted most likely to end up in a bathtub full of sprinkles. Did you guys look at the forecast? I think it's gonna be a little sprinkled. That was a big sprinkle. If I die... Oh, I forgot about the wheelbarrow. I'm getting crushed. This is what getting 10 million hugs feels like. Perfect shot. Yeah, I'm kind of glad that I had 10 million because it's like, I didn't know I needed this, you know? Like 20 million will be a coffin. No, not the sprinkles. Okay. That's probably not good for the yard. Oh, shoot. Put these back. And okay, I'm going to open my mouth. It didn't work. Hello, everyone. I don't know how good that looks. Do I still got it? I still got it. Woo! 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 Some got in my mouth. And we're not done! We still have these ones that are left. I don't know what to do with them. We still have this bathtub that is full, and I can't find my phone, and it might still be in there. We have the trampoline, and if you excuse me, I'm gonna go for a swim. I did not expect 10 million to be this much. I thought the bathtub would be enough, but alas, it is not, and neither is that pool. Oh, and there's also those ones from last time. Those have to be accounted for the 10 million. 900 pounds sprinkles for 10 million. Almost 1,000 pounds, but not. Well, thanks for 10 million. I'm probably not going to do this again ever because it is a hassle to clean up. It is a hassle to set up. And
do you guys remember Jay from the Subway videos? I basically said he believed in zodiac signs and chakras and third eyes. See, I'm someone who doesn't really believe in that sort of stuff. Oh, hey, Black Zen.
Hey, James.
So Jay was trying to teach me about energies and vibrations, and he told me about this YouTube channel called Infinite Waters, parentheses, Diving Deep. Now on this channel, you will see videos like What I Eat in a Day as a Vegan, How to Stop Burning Bridges with People, 7 Amazing Tips That Will Turn You into a Self-Loving Whiz. But he also has videos like How to Open Your Third Eye. So I don't necessarily agree with everything he says on his videos, but I really like him and you should check him out. And the creator of these videos, named Ralph, I just love how he starts off every single video. He goes, peace, infinite waters, diving deep once again. Can I get a hello there? And it is super peaceful and I recommend it. And on a lot of his videos, he talks about doing a
7-day vegan challenge. 7-day vegan challenge. 7-day vegan challenge. 7-day vegan challenge.
You know, for the amount of times you bring up
the 7-day vegan challenge,
you'd think it would solve all your problems. Which is why I, James, have decided to partake in the 7-day vegan challenge. But I'm gonna call it the 7-day vegan challenge, baby. Solves all your problems. Can't get enough sleep? 7-day vegan challenge, baby. Can't find your car keys? 7-day vegan challenge, baby. People keep interrupting you? You wanna die? 7-day vegan challenge, baby. All these lame-o pleb YouTubers doing these lame-o pleb challenges, why does this exist? While they're doing this, I'm actually going out of my way to suffer for a whole week for views. I did some research into what was vegan, and apparently Reese's Puffs and Oreos are vegan.
Well, this is gonna be super easy.
As of recording this, I have already completed the 7-day vegan challenge, and I've kind of delayed making this video because being a vegan has changed me. So while I was doing the 7-day vegan challenge, I wrote this log after each day. I'm not going to read all of it, just the first and last day of the challenge, because days 2 through 6 can pretty much be summed up in So this is what I wrote at the end of day 1. My rations are already very low. I was not prepared for this. I'm the kind of person that will snack on Cheez-Its and trail mix throughout the day. But now I can't do that. Because I had to think of the freaking animals. Every time I'm around food, I just have to keep screaming, vegan, vegan, in my mind so I won't unconsciously take a handful of Cheez-Its. I went shopping for food today, and everything I wasn't allowed to eat looked super good. I was even craving the food that I've never bought before, like Hot Pockets. Who likes Hot Pockets? I accidentally bought bread that contained honey, which I don't know if that's vegan or not. If we've learned anything from the Bee Movie is that bees have no purpose if they're not making honey. I'm in for a long week. I'm already fantasizing about what I'll eat as soon as the challenge is over. I'm thinking a 4x4 from In-N-Out. I'll try to write tomorrow. And then after that long week was over, this is what I wrote for day 7. In a few hours, all my problems will be fixed, and I will be an immortal being. But I'm gonna throw that all away because tomorrow I'm gonna drink milk again. I've completed the vegan challenge, but I don't feel that accomplished. The best way I can think to describe what I'm feeling is, oh, it's over. I remember when I started the challenge, I was thinking about all the food I was going to eat once I was done, but now I'm just not craving anything. Still, though, I'm probably never going to do this again. While I was doing the challenge, I went to Sprouts and bought microwavable veggie burgers, and when I cooked them up, they smelled like throw-up. So see if you can tell how much I was trying to hold back throwing up in this video.
So today, we are going to try these veggie burgers, and as I was cooking it, it sort of smelled like throw-up. That almost made me throw up. So we have the burgers and tomatoes and lettuce. Oh, okay. I'm really hungry right now. Here's a veggie burger. Okay. All right, I think we're gonna try this. We're gonna try and eat this. Hopefully, it, you know, tastes better than it smells.
By the way, that was vegan cheese in the video. I didn't just put normal cheese on the veggie burger, guys. Okay, I'm not a heartless creature. I care about cows. You know, the internet really loves to just hate on vegans. But I don't think it's as bad as the internet makes it out to be. Of course, there will always be jerks in any group of people. And you shouldn't think that you're better than someone else just because of what you eat. Also, I want to mention that while I did the vegan challenge, I would lose my breath just by going up the stairs. Some vegans would probably say that I was malnourished. And I probably was. This video is probably going to get some downvotes from some angry vegans, even though I'm about to compliment them. I think it takes a lot of self-control to do what vegans do. I don't know why anyone would purposely do that.
I admire anyone that puts so much care and thought into their diet. I mean, ever since the challenge was finished, I've been trying to eat healthier, and I don't want to brag or anything, but I bought whole wheat waffles the other day, so I can feel my bones getting stronger. So, in conclusion, unfortunately, the 7-day vegan challenge, baby, solves all your problems. Did not solve all my problems. But even if it did solve all my problems, I still probably wouldn't be vegan. I would still drink milk. You know, because that's what makes ice cream and cheese and nachos. You think I'm exaggerating, but no, you would have to pay me a very pretty penny to get me to be full vegan. Like, no joke, a minimum of $1 billion. Am I glad I did the 7-day vegan challenge? Yes, I am.
Then we got some organic pancake syrup. I think pancake syrup itself is organic too, but we're just going to eat it again. Look, where does it say it? Non-GMO. 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 I haven't had a GMO in days.
I'm going to be real with you guys. I don't know a lot about cameras. The only lighting I have to worry about is what direction it's coming from, so I know where to draw the shadows. Guys, we hit a pretty big milestone today. This was a long time coming, but as of today, I hit 21 years of age. It's my birthday. Now I can drink, finally.
Don't tell the cops that I filmed this before my birthday.
Georgie, you're like breathing heavily and you're like really close to the microphone. Is that... Can you guys hear that? Can you guys hear my dog breathing?
It's fun. It's no fun.
Oh, also, it's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day.
You're not a mother.
You know, I was watching some of my old videos back when I had about 100K, and all I can think is, that first 100,000, you had low standards. Some of you might be new here, and you're probably thinking, James, what's going on? Well, every time this channel hits a subscriber milestone, I like to get a cake and put on sprinkles equal to the number of how many subscribers we have. So... it's a lot of sprinkles. I didn't do one for 2 million because I was lazy. Now you might be thinking, James, how are you going to count 3 million sprinkles? Here's the thing. I'm not. What I did is I weighed a certain amount of sprinkles and then I used math to calculate how many more sprinkles that I needed. The last time I did this, I only counted 200 sprinkles. So using that small sample size, my math might have been a little off. But this time, I counted 3,000 sprinkles. So, I weighed 3,000 sprinkles, I multiplied that weight by another 1,000 to get 3 million, and I got that 3 million sprinkles is equal to... 210 pounds! You know, I just wish, at least once, I'd be able to enjoy this cake and not have to destroy it with sprinkles.
It's gotta be a world record, right? Most sprinkles owned by a YouTuber in Arizona. So all these sprinkles I have weigh more than me. So let's just get started. We're gonna need a... Each of these, it's like what, one person?
Yeah.
Just about?
And then give or take all the ones that we spilled or I spit out.
This was a good day. Like, there were all these. Remember that meme, the... Still a meme, is that still relevant, kids? To be or not to be? That is the question. Oh, I hope this isn't the video I show the doctors when I'm in the hospital.
Oh my gosh. Hold on, James, come here. Oh.
Now the sprinkles are on the cake. I can't take this off. I cannot take this off. Help me. Okay, I can just do that. So my friend Foot of a Ferret Writer made a brief history episode of Yours Truly, and you should check it out because it's nice, and I drew some of the pictures, and I think
it's pretty fitting for a subscriber milestone video. It's really interesting to see where I came from and what I've done to get all of this. What did I get? 5 years ago today, I got a $100 bamboo tablet for my 16th birthday. And that was the start of me uploading content on the internet. It took me like a month to upload my first comic, but whatever. 5 years might seem like a long time, but to me, it feels like I'm just starting. I made this comic back in 2013, and it says, "Thanks for 2 million followers." And then it has a person saying, "That's what I'll say when I get 2 million followers." I think I made it because I was just feeling bitter or something. It was like, "Ooh, no one's reading my stuff. It's stupid." Now, here I am, surpassed 2 million. And all I have to say to that is, thanks for 3 million followers. So, here's to another year. Or another million, I should say. I'm not going to do another subscriber special. I mean, once you've seen 3 million sprinkles, 4 million isn't that different. 10 million. That'll be the next subscriber special. 10 million. So, thanks for watching. Thanks for subscribing. Thank you for letting me be able to do what I love every day and I wouldn't be here without you. I'd probably still be in college doing math homework. Okay, enough with this cheese. Let's cut the cheese. Let's get this cut the cheese cut. Let's get it out of here. Cut the cheese means fart. And, of course, wear your seatbelt. I got the sandwich! Oh, I put it on a... I got some pickles on an important paper. What are you looking at? Thank you.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Odd Ones Out. My name's The Odd Ones Out, and today we're...
Welcome to Australia, James. Well,
that's true. I'm here in Down Underland, Australia.
AKA Jazz's hotel room.
I'm doing this kind of drawing collab because I'm busy doing VidCon Australia stuff. So that's why Jazza was so nice to let me film this video and use his camera equipment. So thank you, Jazza.
It's okay.
Mate.
To help make you feel more at home in Australia and to culturally educate you, I've put the most confusing slang terms and descriptors together in the form of three different characters that I'm going to say, and you're going to draw in your style or whatever you want, and I'm going to draw the actual representation of.
Yes.
And we're going to see yours and see how it compares, and at the end of it, if you've done a pretty good job, I have some Australian treats that you can try as well. This isn't authentically Australian because we're trying to keep it family friendly.
Oh, would you be
if
swearing?
It was authentically Australian, would you this be beer would be full of beer and let's just say some pretty harsh swear word terms are colloquial friendly terms in Australia.
I thought it was weird because I was watching TV in the hotel and they were just like saying the F word and it's like, you're allowed to say that?
Alright, so let's get started. Character number one. A yobbo with a bottle of grog and a stubby holder sitting on a dummy.
It's like four vocabulary words.
This is character number one. Let's get started.
What do you think America is like? What's weird about America?
I feel like Australia is pretty easy to cliche. With America, you have like Californians and, you know,
Arizonans, those people.
You know, the cliche Arizonans that everyone talks about. What are the things that sort of have struck you as interesting or cool or weird since you've been here?
The toilets. You call them toilets.
Like if when I'm in America and I need to tinkle,
I'll
think, I gotta go to the toilet.
You gotta go to the bathroom.
But there's not a bath in the... There's a toilet in there.
There's also a sink. Do you want to call it the toilet and sink room? Wait. Are one of these a toilet? Is one of these words a toilet?
Maybe. I'll never tell. I feel like we should wrap up pretty soon. How are you feeling?
Here's the problem, is that I didn't know what I drew. And so you'd be like, what is that? And I'll be like, it's a yabo. And you're like, what is a yabo? And it's like, it's the thing I drew.
All right, you ready? All right, you walk me through yours.
So I didn't know what a yabo was. So I just drew this this creature with a overbite and horns. He's sitting on a dunny, which is supposed to be like a dummy. I mean, okay. The closest thing I could think of was a dummy. And then a grog. It just sounds like something alcoholic or with beer.
Mm-hmm. You got grog.
I got grog?
That's good. Grog is an alcoholic beverage.
I knew it.
Yeah.
One for four, I think.
The rest, you're totally... Yeah. A yobbo is kind of like just an unkempt, unappealing, typical, I guess it's sort of like a mix between like a delinquent and a bottle of grog, we've got a bottle of alcohol in a stubby holder, just like that foam, I don't know if you have them in America, they're like foam cup holders, there's like an encasing you put cold beer into.
So it's an unkempt person, but he has a cup holder.
Yes. And that's so his hands don't get too chilly. And sitting on a dunny is a toilet.
So if I went up to someone and I said, hey, where are the dunnies? They'll be like, oh, over there.
Yeah, definitely.
Where are the dummies?
Next one. You're going to be drawing a bogan Sheila with moccasins and a flanny.
What's your favorite medium to draw on?
Medium.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Not including the computer, of course.
I'd actually say VR. Oh, not including the computer.
That's what I just said.
Ugh. I'd go old school. I'd just go pencil and paper. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of pencil and paper, I went to an art museum. Mm-hmm. The Sydney something contemporary arts or whatever.
Yeah.
And I didn't like it. Who decides what goes in a modern art museum? Like, the modern art is supposed to make you feel something. And the only thing that was making me feel was angry. So, the thing about the toilets is that there's two flushers.
Yeah.
What's that about?
Okay, so you have a half flush and a full flush. If you're doing a, let's say, a heavy-duty toilet session, you would use a full flush, which is what you're used to. But let's say you just have a little something.
You'd use a urinal for that.
Insignificant tinkle. Are you going to install a urinal in your house?
I wish.
No.
I mean, it makes sense, but it's different. Don't you guys actually not put shrimp on the Barbie? Isn't that a very stereotype?
Prawns, yeah.
No, prawns.
The reference he's referring to is from a very old tourism ad. Chuck another shrimp on the Barbie, and it just angered Aussies.
And there's plenty of shrimps on the Barbie.
What about people who throw boomerangs? There's a lot less of boomerang throwers than I was expecting.
Wait.
Ooh! Can we
throw it? No, go for it.
Now throw it back, and with movie magic, it'll look like it came back.
Or I'll have, like, blood running down my face.
It came back! I'm pretty much done.
Pretty much done, so am I.
Okay, so, Bogan Sheila...
Yeah.
There is a character in Lord
Sheila.
Of the... Yes.
What's a bogan, though?
I didn't know. I thought it was an Australian thing. Maybe it means friendly. And also, like, Australia has a lot of spiders in it.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, that's just... They named it after Lord of the Rings. Wearing moccasins, which are these shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Aren't there, like, am I thinking of the right thing?
Are you thinking of, like, the clip-cloppy ones, or...
Yeah, I am thinking of the clip-cloppy ones.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, wait, the flannel, right? He's wearing, like, a flannel shirt, and then the bag of Mackers.
Yeah.
That's just a funny way of saying markers. It's with an Australian accent.
Really?
Yeah. Get the bag of Mackers. I think I got that one on the nose.
Ooh,
you can't tell.
No, you did not. Bogan is kind of like a yobbo. We just have lots of names for delinquents.
So is that a man or a woman?
This is a Sheila.
Okay.
A Sheila is a lady. Fortunately, you're pretty on the mark with a flanny.
Okay.
Flannelette shirt. Moccasins are sheepskin-made slippers.
Do you have moccasins?
I do not.
Oh. You're not a...
I'm not a bloody yobbo man. And a bag of Maccas is a bag of McDonald's food. Maccas. So you can go to Maccas, and you can walk in and say... Where's your dunny?
Where's your dunny, you mackers? What's my total score? Like 2 out of 8?
Something like that. It's alright. It's not bad. Most people would get none.
I mean, that is a failing grade, but...
No, I feel like that's... Yeah, no, that's sort of...
Yeah.
A real ochre-looking bloke.
Is this just another delinquent person?
Try and say it with my accent.
Ochre?
Ochre.
Ochre.
Say, ochre-looking bloke.
Ochre-looking bloke. Bringing it back to Lord of the Rings, it sounds like orc, like goblins.
Wait, just stop drawing Lord of the Rings characters.
I didn't even.
We're drawing actual people, mostly delinquent people. I like how you spelled bloke.
Is that not
B-L-O-A-K?
To be fair, even American words I'm bad at spelling. So.
Wearing togs at a Barbie.
There's a TV show called Man vs. Wild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bear Grylls.
Bear Grylls.
Yeah, bloody ripper.
What was... I didn't understand that. I'm from Arizona. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's going to be hot in the winter. You can wear a t-shirt in the winter. And so I only packed t-shirts. And I get here, and I'm like, it's brisk.
When my wife had our baby, and the doctor was, like, you know, talking to her about what she does, and she's like, I'm a teacher. And they were having a conversation, and then he turned to me and was like, what do you do? And
I
was
make videos
on
the internet.
I'm a YouTuber, yeah. He literally didn't reply. He was like, Anyway, the baby is healthy.
So last time we were in a video together, you offended at Somalians.
No, I'm just offending Australians.
I did another drawing collab where I killed off a bunch of orphans.
Oh, so fun.
So I was imagining a macho guy who likes to go on adventures and pets crocodiles and gets killed by stingrays. And then at a Barbie, I know this one, that's a barbecue. And he has shrimp on his plate because that's what you get, or prawns. He has prawns on his plate because that's what you guys like to barbecue.
Not really.
No?
That's the other reason people were offended by that ad, because we never really barbecue prawns. Okra is like super cliche Aussie, like super... Okra is sort of delinquent. When I say Steve Irwin sounds okra, if you think of someone as okra, usually it's the way they talk. But when I say an okra-looking bloke, it's inferring that they look like, hey, gal, mate, welcome to Australia. This is
a stereotype, an over-exaggerated stereotype.
Exactly. I guess it's hard to draw someone as particularly okra if they're wearing nothing but their togs.
Togs.
Togs is a bathing suit.
Bathing suit. Is it like a Speedo?
Well, it can be. It can be bathing shorts. Our colloquial term for Speedos. Yeah, this is so educational. Budgie smuggler. I know you're kidding.
Wait, so it smuggles your bodgies?
Budgie. Budgie is a bird. So it's like... I'm not going to go into detail. Let's just leave that where it is. I think you did pretty well. Let's wrap it up with a nice little reward.
A reward?
Some Aussie food to... Wet your cultural appetite.
Are these Tim Tams?
Tim Tams.
I had these before. Yes.
They're so good. I don't know. You are not going to eat all of those. I just thought I'd... Do you have Twisties in America?
No, I don't think we have anything in America.
All right.
They're Cheetos.
No, they don't taste like Cheetos.
I mean, they're
a sort of harsher different. And a bit more rough around the edges. They're like Cheetos for bogans.
I think Cheetos are more compressed. This feels more airy to it.
Really?
You might be talking about puffballs. Those are really airy.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about plain old Cheetos.
These are Lamingtons.
Is that coconut on them?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Do you like coconut?
It's all right. I'll eat pastries and dessert.
You're not just eating food. It has to be content.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
So the review of the Tim Tams.
Those are really good. I wish they had them in America.
Yeah.
It sounds a lot like Tim Tom, who I know is a person.
All right. So Lamington, what do you reckon?
It kind of tastes like bread. This is bread with a little bit of chocolate and flaky coconut. But it tastes good.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit like an Almond Joy, but that's only because of the coconut.
This is an Anzac Bicky. A Bicky, sorry, is a biscuit.
It tastes like a cookie. Like an oatmeal raisin cookie without the raisins.
Yeah. So have you ever had Vegemite?
Once.
Oh. Well, then what's the point of this?
Should I say no, I didn't? Ask that again. Ask that again.
No, it's too late. I bought a loaf of bread.
I forgot what it tastes like. I need to taste it again.
Don't patronize me. Okay, maybe I'll use this as an opportunity to teach people who haven't
had Vegemite.
That's true. It looks sort of like Nutella, I guess, to some people. They think it's like chocolatey or something.
It's
very strong. It's made of yeast extract. It's very salty, but if you put on a bunch of butter on your bread and you just very lightly coat it...
Go all out, man. I can handle it.
This is neither of our content.
Wait, so...
But it's Australia.
Wait, this is
welcome
a sandwich?
Welcome to Australia. This
just
is...
Butter and whatever that is?
Yeah,
Vegemite.
Sometimes you put a slice of cheese on it. Same as last time.
Yeah, actually, Vegemite is really strong. I mean, definitely does not taste like Nutella. It's not the worst thing in the world. All right, it is pretty bad, but...
It's an acquired taste.
Definitely don't enjoy eating this. It almost tastes like you burnt it. Even though I know you didn't, because I saw you make it.
I mean, just looking at this table, it's like I've thrown Australian culture at you sort of abysmally.
I need to drown out the bad taste of Tim Tom. This video is going to come out after VidCon Australia.
Yeah,
so... That was so fun, you guys. I'm glad I met all of you. Be sure to check out Jazz's video on his channel.
And we're going to do something that I don't know what it is.
Yes, I'm going to be basically testing him on American culture and trivia. I didn't bring him any food, though. I wish I did. So with that, thanks for watching and wear your seatbelt.
Hi, everyone. I'm here with Jaden Animations.
Hi.
Today, we're going to be drawing Pokemon from memory. And
yay.
We're going to do one from each generation, and there's a time limit of 4 hours per picture, so.
All right, so strap in. This is going to be a long video, everyone.
All right, so your Gen 1 Pokemon that I chose for you, Omanyte, Lord Helix.
And yours is Meowth.
Meowth?
Yeah, we're starting off easy.
Yeah, this is level one. No reference picture, just art.
My biggest, fear right now is being like, oh yeah, I'm a Pokemon fan, and then drawing everything wrong. Oh no, I feel like I should have studied for a test. I feel like I'm in school again.
Why is this so hard? He was in every episode. Does he have a nose? I can't remember if he has a nose or not.
Lord Helix, I'm sorry.
Oh crap, oh, that's on the same layer. Oh no. Maybe since he's a villain, he should be you know?
He's a bad villain. Not bad as an evil, but
a bad villain.
Actually bad.
When I'm going to be editing this, I'm just going to have a picture of it, just off to the side.
I really feel like I'm missing something, but I don't know what else to add.
I mean, it's just a shell and then something popping out of the shell, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm done.
Should we be giving any drawing tips?
I always say practice.
That's true.
And people are Jaden, no, say something else. I'm I don't know what else to say. So you guys just have to practice.
Can't remember if Meowth has a nose. I'm looking at it with and without the nose. So, whatever. Okay, it's done. It's fine.
Lord Helix himself.
Aww. You actually did color it.
Aww.
You're pretty spot on. Yeah. Does he have a nose?
No.
He doesn't? I'm missing a couple of these. Whoops. And his eyeballs are this, you know? Yeah. Okay.
All right. Next one.
Next one. Your Gen 2 Pokemon is Houndoom. The grown up of the Honduras. Is that the baby one?
Houndour and Houndoom.
Whatever, Pokemon Master.
And yours is Flaffy.
Flaffy?
Yeah. Do you know which one that is?
Explain it.
Mareep, the sheep one.
Uh-huh.
The very first sheep?
Yeah, the pink
it's
one?
It's the second one.
Wait. So it's a sheep. An electric sheep. And that's pink.
Yes.
I got it. A little sheep afro. Oh, I'm doing it on the same layer again. Let me just extend the canvas. Here, you know what? I need to restart, a lot of it.
I thought you were going to say, I need to research. I'm like, no. Hey!
The whole point of these. Is it weird that I actually sketch with a stabilizer? I think it has ears. Yeah, it totally has ears.
I know he has a skull on his chest. This looks like a seashell.
Something's off. I can't think of what, though. I know it has little, sheep fur somewhere else. I don't know.
I was just drawing Manectric yesterday, and this is the opposite. It's the fire doggo versus electric doggo.
Wait. Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about the thing I was drawing. I was like, wait, my thing's a doggo? I thought it was a sheep. Okay, I'm kind of done.
Are you done already?
I mean, are we ever really done?
When did we start? We should check the time every time we begin. Mine's not colored, and I think I'm missing some details, but I think it's as good as it's gonna get now.
Okay, well now I'm not done coloring it. There's totally something missing. Did I even get the color schemes right? Oh man. So this is what I drew.
Aww. It looks like cotton candy.
Yeah. Aww, yours is... That's really good. It's wearing kind of a turtleneck skeleton.
You put the fluff on the wrong side of the
belly.
Oh,
you're right.
All right. Next one.
Next one.
Yours is Absol.
Absol? That's the white little wolf thing, right? Yours is Flygon.
Flygon?
Yeah. Is that too easy or is that too hard? That's too hard.
Which Pokemon did you, stop playing the games at?
The third one, Ruby and Emerald. I was caught up with all the hot new trends up until the fifth one. When I was choosing your, sixth generation one, there were some that I was not recognizing.
Uh-oh, what if I chose that one? Then you're in trouble. People are gonna be like, how do you not know who this looks like? It's easier when you watch someone do it, okay, guys?
Aw, man.
I got the ones that were aesthetically pleasing to me.
You mean the ones that were cute? Is that just how you say it?
I was never into the cute Pokemon. I was the really cool ones that were powerful and stuff.
I have not gotten that far into the drawing, so if If we, like, cut to you and you're, like, almost done, that'd be embarrassing.
Do insects here? They have to.
Do they?
Is that a stupid question?
Got a nice little profile shot of whatever the heck this is. Oh, I'm so glad we're not recording this and putting it on the internet. I think this is my worst one. Have you seen the new Ghostbusters movie?
No, I heard it sucks.
Oh, I haven't seen it either, so. If I had time to do line art, oh, this would look so much better. I started doing the line art, but I shouldn't have. Okay, I'm gonna give you a secret. I haven't even seen the original Ghostbusters movie.
What?
Right? Yeah, I know. I wonder if I see this new one, since I don't have anything else to, like, judge it off of. I wonder if I'll think it's better. I shouldn't color.
I heard all your undos.
Just pretend I colored in the rest of the claws. Here's what I drew. It's, oh man. Don't even give a pity. Aww. Oh wow, yours is good.
Aww.
Yours is, like, really spot on. Yeah, no, I was way off with my Absol.
If Absol had a pre-evolution, that would be it.
And it doesn't even have ears. I'm excited for this one, just because I want to see what you do. All right, yours is Licky Licky.
Oh, no. Yours is Floatzel.
Is that the one Ash had in the cartoon? And it's like a water one?
Yeah, he had a Buizel, which is the first one. And then it's the next one.
I don't know what that looks like.
Floatzel. Like float, and then Zell, as in pretzel. Imagine an otter, but bigger, and he's got, like, floaties on him.
This is so far not turning out that good.
Do you think they make Pokemon ugly on purpose?
No.
Do you know Probopass?
No. Is that, like, one of the new ones?
It's like a rock one with a really big nose and a mustache.
Oh, yeah.
It's really ugly, and a lot of people don't like it.
I know a lot of people don't like the, like Garbodor? No, that's the sexy one that everyone likes. The garbage
one. No, I think it was Garbodor.
Oh. What's the sexy one likes?
What were you talking about?
I'm talking about the trash one.
I've played all of them except for Black and White 2. That was when I had my falling out. I was like, yeah. But then I came back to it.
Shoot, this is looking like a kangaroo. I kept thinking, like, there's something up here on the forehead. But I didn't know what. And you're like, you know what? I think it would look better with this. Do you think food tastes better when you didn't make it?
Yes. Isn't it like you aren't used to the smell while you're cooking? I saw another thing where, like, people would have two glasses of milk and one was dyed orange.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, oh, this milk tastes better, but it was the same one.
There's gotta be some way we can turn this into a competition.
Didn't, like, a whole bunch of different stuff happen with Minecraft? Now there's, like, a story now.
Oh, yeah, there's like, an end. You do it, and then, like, you can still play. I know it has the floaties. Now I'm just, like, seriously just, like, adding designs.
I'm pretty much done.
The tail always has some design on it. This is what I drew.
And this is what I drew. Aww! You keep drawing them all really cute.
Are you sure? I mean, whatever, okay. I didn't think you'd get this, but Licky Licky has a Wi-Fi symbol on him. Man, there was a lot I was missing. I knew there was something on his forehead. He doesn't have ears. Yours is Rufflet.
Oh, no.
It's a bird one. It's like a bald eagle. It's like a baby bald eagle.
Oh, okay. That helped me a lot. I was about to draw the wrong gen bird. So you have to draw Crocodile.
Wait, is that the first one or the second one?
It's the third.
What?
Do you still know which one I'm talking about?
It's a crocodile.
Yeah.
And it has...
And it's red.
And it's red. And the third one, he's standing up with his arms crossed. Or am I thinking, is the second one the one with cross arms?
Little fun fact. My first games were Ruby and Sapphire.
Uh-huh.
And my first Pokemon ever was Torchic, and that's why Torchic and Blaziken are my favorite.
Uh-huh.
In the sprite, Torchic has 1 foot up, kind of standing up. I always thought he only had 1 foot, and then he evolved, and he's like, oh, I have a foot now. I have both of them.
I always, you know, Rattatat? I always put in, like, one too many Atatas. Rat-a-tat-a-tat. Okay, I'm starting over. I know its eyes are, like, bulging. That's all I can think of.
Kind of. There's, like, a part that bulges out, but it's not his eyes.
What? I can't. Jaden, I can't. I'm just going to draw a crocodile.
I can see the image.
Right?
In my head.
Same.
But I just can't.
But I tried to draw that twice, and I've given up.
How close are you to being done?
I mean, I can call it quits. It's so not a Pokemon. You're gonna look at it and be like, that's just a crocodile.
This is a weak round. It is a crocodile.
Yours is Inkay.
Inkay?
Am I saying that okay. Right?
Yours is Noivern.
What is that one? Oh, is it the bat one? That new bat one?
Yeah, and he's got like the ears.
Oh, he does have ears. The one that I saw that I like, I've never seen that before. It was hands coming out of a rock. Like if you held that one up and like a Digimon and you said, which one's the Pokemon? I'd be like, neither of them are Pokemon. This is not right, but I don't care. I'm making it cute.
I wonder how many people are going to dislike this just because we frustrated them.
Like, I'm not taking it seriously anymore. This is why you need drawing references.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with drawing references. I saw a comment one time and it was like, Jaden, you use references to draw your Pokemon. I'm like,
yeah.
What else? Why are you mad at me? Oh, this is going pretty well. And then I just like stopped and looked at it and I'm like, oh, this doesn't look right.
I'm not making it look cool. I'm making it look derpy. Alright, and then it totally has little bat wings. Throw designs on the wall, see what sticks.
This poor thing.
Perfect. I'm done. Alright, this is what I drew.
This is what I drew.
Aww.
Aww! Every time I see him, it's just adorable.
Thanks. Okay, the nose is not right. And man, his wings are a lot crazier than I thought.
You got the, like, the V on his face.
So these were my Pokemon. This one's not really a Pokemon. That one didn't count. What have we learned, Jaden?
Reference photos are important.
Thanks for watching. Yeah, if you haven't seen Jaden's video, you should.
Please.
I don't know if you could tell, but we kind of did a collab.
Bye.
Bye. Wear your seatbelt.
I guess we're starting. Hello, everyone. We're here to play a little drawing game, and I'm here with Jaden Animations.
Hello.
Hello. So what we're doing is we each chose a Pokemon. We're changing the type of the Pokemon. Let's get started.
You have to change Beedrill into a fighting type.
Beedrill is a pretty dope Pokemon, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You have Farfetch'd. And you have to change him into a psychic type.
A psychic.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Beedrill was on my team.
Did you enjoy him?
He has this move called Pine Needle.
I think it's Pin Missile.
He hit it more than once. He hit the Pokemon
more
than
once.
Yeah,
it's Pin Missile.
No, I think it's Pin Needle. Or Twine Needle or something.
What was your original team?
I do not remember. I chose Squirtle because I had Pokemon Blue. And I thought, since it's blue, then I should get... I was a little kid, all right? Squirtle's gonna be the best, because this is a Pokemon Blue. And I want to say a Parasect was on my team, too.
Really? He's, like, one of the weakest Pokemon, honestly.
when they're level 100, though, then...
Beaks from the front are weird.
If this is an actual Pokemon, it'd be terrifying.
Mm-hmm. Because he's, like, really big.
It's kind of weird that he was on my team, because as a kid, I was terrified of bees.
Really? I'm scared of bees, too, actually.
Yeah, I got stung. Maybe this could be a video, but I got stung twice from bees, and so I've always just never been able to forgive them for that. I don't know what you're drawing. I don't know how you're taking the rules. I just drew him with boxing gloves on. I heard a story about Farfetch'd. I heard it on the internet. Apparently there's a saying in Japan where a duck holding a leak is abnormal, out of this world. And so having a duck carrying a leak is Farfetch'd. I can't really put shorts on a bee, though. That'd be weird. I tried. I'm taking creative liberty with what I'm doing right now.
People in your last video, I read some comments and they thought I was cheating. But you know what? I wasn't cheating, and I'm taking that as a compliment. Hate all you want.
I couldn't help myself. Okay, here is Beedrill as a fighting type.
And Farfetch'd as a psychic. Oh my gosh, that's awesome. You like jazz? Oh, it's such a meme.
It has a third eye. Oh, that's cute.
All right, next one.
The one you have to draw is Stantler.
Yours is Meganium, but you have to change him into a ghost type.
Ooh, you have to change him into a poison type. Like, zoink, Scoobs. What am I going to do differently than just making it transparent? Have a sheet over its head? I'm trying to use all my creative juices right now. So I went to PAX, and I met up with one other YouTuber. He does Pokemon videos, so this is a relevant story. His name is Mand JTV Pokevids. He met up with me at PAX and was like, oh, hi, how's it going? Then I followed him on Twitter. I sent him a DM. I sent him a picture of my Breloom plush, and I said, it's the best Pokemon in the world. So I also sent him a picture of my dog, so I said, and my dog. And then he sent a picture of a figurine of a Sceptile, which is his favorite Pokemon. And then he sent a picture of his girlfriend, and he goes, and that's my dog. But then he said, oh, my girlfriend approved of that joke. So, like, this flower right here, I was thinking of, like, oh, make it a ghost sheet. but that just ended up looking like the Breloom tough.
There's not too many, like, defining features of poison types.
I was thinking you'd give them vampire teeth.
Deer anatomy is weird.
Tell me about it. I have a Word document, and I made notes for each one. I only wrote one note for this one, and it's just bubble butt. Do you believe in ghosts?
This topic.
Yeah. I mean, I could cut it out. I don't have to be in this.
What about you?
No. Is it good? Is it bad? Yeah. Put a happy little dead tree right here, you know?
Happy little dead tree. This is my poison Stantler.
This is my ghost. What's it called? Bay leaf?
Ooh, spooky.
Okay, I like that.
I made it like poison barbs. I didn't give him ears!
Can I fix it? There, I fixed it.
Okay, I fixed it too. This is the real one.
The one you have to do is Wailord.
Ugh.
And its new type is flying.
You have to do Cacturne, but he's fairy.
Ugh. This is the same one that the Team Rocket people had, right?
They had the baby one. Did you know that Wailord can actually fly?
It can?
In the Pokedex entry, it says, like, his weight, and it's lighter than air, so he can technically fly.
Aren't a lot of the Pokedex entries messed up? The balloon Pokemon.
Where he drags children.
That murders kids.
I wonder if I should give him a little beak.
I remember when they had a new evolution announced, but they didn't know what type it was. Some people were guessing, oh, it's a new type. It's fairy type. I remember thinking, like, no, that's not right. They're not just going to make a new type. We gave drawing tips in your video. We want to do any drawing tips here?
Should we?
No. Okay, well, you're going to have a lot of free time.
Oh, are you not done?
am I not done? So we replaced those circles with hearts. If I was coloring this, I'd color it pink.
But like a dark pink?
No.
Because he's still a bit evil. Oh, are you taking out all the evil?
How evil is he? Are any Pokemon really evil?
The balloon Pokemon seems pretty evil.
They can understand people, though, because we tell them what to do, and they listen to what we don't tell them what to, because they're not real.
In the Pokedex entry for Latios, it says it's one of the few Pokemon that can understand human speech. And everyone's like, excuse me.
Valentine's Day is coming up.
Happy Valentine's Day, here's a Cacturne.
You're the one-eyed prick.
Sounds like an insult.
It's kind of giving you the ooh eyes. I like how it turned out. I'll write my name next to it. I mean, actually, I can change the color, because this is a computer. Look at that. I like it.
Are you sending it?
Yeah, I mean, I was just staring at it. So this is, crap, I keep forgetting the names. What was the cactus' name again?
Cacturne.
This is Cacturne as a fairy.
Wailord as a flying type.
Aw.
Aw, he's got bows.
Mm-hmm. Aw, you drew little baby Wailords.
Yeah, yours is adorable. He's like,
All right, that was fun. This is fun. I'm having fun. So it's your turn to do a fairy, and it is Gabite.
Ooh, you have to do Shaman Land as a fire type.
Okay, I think it's pretty obvious what I'm going to do.
Set him on fire.
What's a fire version of a flower? I don't even know what this part is, but it's in it. It's in my drawing now. Never mind, I just erased it. Yeah, this looks pretty dumb. I'm not proud of what I just did, but I think I'm done. It's whatever.
Really? Oh no, I'm almost done. I'm getting there. Fairy types, am I right?
I kind of made it go Super Saiyan.
Airplane.
Are you like by an airport?
They're like, hey, Jaden's house is over here. How about we fly an airplane around it?
Just drawn one of the best Pokemons in the world. So here he is as a fire type, and the Breloom is watching.
Here's my Gabite, who's a fairy now. Ah! Oh, you added a Mario thing.
Yeah, a fire flower.
Aw,
he's pretty cute. Aw.
Thanks.
Aw. The one I chose is Swoobat, and you're going to have to turn him into an electric Swoobat.
So you have Emolga, and you have to change him into a dragon.
Ah! A lot of the quote-unquote dragon-type Pokemon aren't dragons. That one fluffy cloud bird is a dragon, too?
Yeah, how do his ears even work? They're, like, together, but not together.
What if we were bad at drawing? Do you think people would still watch us if we were bad at drawing? I mean, obviously, yeah.
I have no idea for this one.
Same.
Oh, he's so ugly. Let me just fix you up, pal. His eyes, that's the problem. his eyes, and no, it's his whole face.
Should we talk about the YouTube glitch, or do you think that's going to be old news by the time this comes out?
And I feel like there's enough people already making a ruckus, and YouTube's probably freaking out.
I've created a masterpiece.
Ooh. Ooh.
What tool do you use to sketch?
The pen.
I use the marker. Yeah. Oh, this is so smarter. Amazing. Yeah, because this is a dragon.
I'm really close.
Okay, yeah, take your time, I guess. Actually, no, hurry up.
I'm going so fast right now. You, like, if you were on my screen, you'd be like, whoa, Jin, slow down.
Dang, I should color all of my things now.
More airplanes.
This is one of the proudest things I've ever made.
Oh, I like this one a lot.
I like the little magnet electric thing. I was kind of expecting you to do the fluff more jaggedy, like a Jolteon, yeah. You know? If I was making some edits to your drawing. Not saying your drawing's not good.
Excuse me.
I was imagining like a pow! Your next one, Go-Goat. And his new type is dragon, the one you just made me do.
You have Talonflame, and you have to change him into a psychic type.
Can I steal your third eye idea?
Do you want to?
Give him a bunch of eyes. Are there any psychic bird Pokemons?
Nope. No, there are. It's Zatu.
That counts. Drawing tips. If you just start, you're gonna be bad. Speaking of psychic, would you ever want to get your fortune told or anything?
I don't know if I believe in those.
I mean, no, but I think it's for funsies.
If it was relatively cheap.
Whenever I find a new genre on YouTube, I always feel like an explorer. So there's this whole culture on YouTube of people doing seances and spell casting and people summoning spirits on YouTube.
This has turned out weird. I'm gonna keep his hooves. It's not every day that you see a dragon with hooves.
It's not every day you see a dragon with hooves, because you know, dragons without hooves, I see those on a daily basis. I just had to draw an eye on its forehead. You just couldn't take it seriously, could you, James? Alright, yeah, yeah. Wait, that's not good. Beautiful. Terrific.
Oh, this is sketchy.
I want to bring this up before the video ends. I had this comic idea that's a little inappropriate, and I asked people on Twitter, like, oh, is this an appropriate comic idea? Everyone was saying, like, yeah, it's fine, do it. But I'm just thinking about all of these kids I met at PAX. I'm imagining them all in a room, and they're with their parents, and then I show them the idea, and they don't laugh, and then I say, get it? That's, like, the one thing giving me doubts, all the kids that I met at PAX. They ruin everything. I could color with the marker. That's such a good idea. I've never really colored with a marker before, but this is good.
See, you discover more every day, kids.
Yeah, I can be done. No, I just want to finish coloring this. I'm going to call it good. Wait, hold on, let me just finish coloring it. This is the bird as a psychic type.
And this is the goat as a dragon.